The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback, two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback.
Oh, okay. Now,
he gives the ball. No, he doesn't. He doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about fake. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower. Oh, listen. You can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy.
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I liked them too.
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now,
please.
Not yet. PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, no! We suck again!
All right. We are here with PFW in Progress. Andy's here. Paul's here. Fred's here. Pepe Le Pen's on the tweet box. And Kevin's in the booth. Now, Eric is in Paris. However, there is no truth to the rumor that he has asked the Eiffel Tower out to dinner.
Really? Why don't we re-rack that open? Why don't we start the show over?
You don't like that? That wasn't good? I thought that was a good joke.
It was okay.
It was all right?
Wasn't that funny?
You didn't get it?
I did. It's a big phallic symbol.
Okay. All right.
Speaking of towers, have you seen all the buzz about the London Tower? The new one for the Olympics?
No.
I don't know the exact name of it. It's hideous. It looks like they let a five-year-old make it, or they forgot to take the scaffolding down afterwards. It's literally one of the ugliest things I've ever seen. And the guy who designed it was saying, well, yeah, they didn't like the Eiffel Tower when that was first made either. They criticized that one, too. Don't compare yourself to the Eiffel Tower. Hmm. The Eiffel Tower is a normal tower. You need to get a photo
of
it.
So this is a new London
Tower? You, sir, are no Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, it's part of the Olympic Games. Even he was saying, I can't believe they let me make this. I can't believe they let us make this.
So is Big Ben going to go win this one now? Or
no, this is some new age. Yeah. I don't know what
it's probably nice when it's lit up.
I don't think so. It's got a thing in the middle, and then it has this red exoskeleton type thing that wraps in weird. I thought it actually had a roller coaster on it. It looks like maybe there could have been a roller. Why is that camera behind you moving all around?
Because Pepe had an idea to actually film us, particularly the Markel Carter interview. And then, I don't know, what are you going to do with it, Pepe?
Hopefully turn it around and get it up on Patriots.com.
Okay.
What are you looking at behind him while he's talking?
No, I don't know.
Everybody's looking behind the person they're talking to.
Because
now,
if I look straight, I'm looking right at this microphone thing, so I had to look this way.
Okay.
So, anyway, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. And as I teased just now, Markel Carter will be here sometime between the 12:30 and 1 o'clock. Time frame, I think.
The new, bigger, stronger, faster Markel Carter.
Yeah. So
now, Pepe.
Pepe.
Did you get everybody's written permission to put them on the web?
I believe you guys have already waived that right for me to have to ask.
Oh, you don't have to say that right. It's all rights. We've waived them all. Thank
it's
you.
True. Thank I don't think I gave my expressed that. Written consent.
I hope this doesn't interrupt my lunch.
It probably will not, because nothing ever has.
So what do we got for news today?
Well, I was just going to say, what
I know,
because
you always say that.
What do we got?
Not much.
Really? No?
Jeremy Ebert signed. Who cares? They're all going to sign. Don't worry about it.
I heard there was this big clamor to talk to Spencer Larson today.
Yeah, Spencer Larson, my favorite player.
I saw the full CSNNE crew in they had like two cameramen just for Spencer Larson?
I don't think those were both from the same network.
Oh, really?
I saw Moose. Moose Did they have another camera?
Yeah, no, the other one was, I'm sorry, the name's escaping me. Ralph. Ralph used to work for Channel 4. I don't think he was with Comcast.
Oh, he was with another outfit?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, there was Spencer Larson was telling some tales of Rob Gronkowski and beating him up when they were at Arizona. They overlapped like a year or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was joking, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it.
No.
But, yeah, we may talk to him next week on PFW in Progress. I'm looking forward to that two-way player.
Okay.
Inside linebacker, a little fullback. I mean, he's Andy Hart in the NFL.
And Andy had a blog post he just put up with some interesting stuff that we can talk about during the show about Pete Prisco, who's always a lightning rod of controversy around here in New England.
Yep.
What was it? His top 100 players? And
well, top 705 if you include that he noted that's where Tim Tebow would be ranked.
So, you know, we put that up, and Andy and I also are going to start working on some positional analysis. On the website, I put up a short post on Patriots.com about quarterbacks this morning.
You know, and Prisco took some stabs at the NFL.com top 100, and
he should,
because it is kind of silly. The one thing, though, I will say about the top 100 for the NFL.com is
it's NFL Network.
Okay. It is voted on by the players, though. You know, so that's the only
theoretically.
Yeah, that's the only redeeming factor of that is it's a player poll. So it's just interesting to see how that comes out every year. But other than that,
Is it really?
I guess. I mean, it is
so interesting that you have to have it broken up into 10 episodes.
For example, what's his name? Philip Rivers fell 30 points from last year.
He had a bad year.
You know, so it's just good to see their take on things. You know. Yeah. But other than that, it's silly. It really is. You know, who's the best football player in the NFL?
Well, what we were discussing the list and if Tebow really deserves to be 700, and I said sure, because there's 32 teams and 20 starters a team, and he's not a starter, so he's in the 700. But you know, if you went just by strong, fast, athletic, then Tim Tebow would be much higher than that.
Right.
The problem is he can't play the position he's supposed to play. That's where he falls way down on NFL players' list, because he's supposed to be a quarterback, and he can't play that position.
And without getting into it, because I don't want to spoil it, tomorrow you're going to have a pretty good Samsonite make your case, right?
Yes.
Along those lines?
Yeah, kind of a debate of comparing players. You know, you got to stack the board vertically and horizontally, so it's players at the same position, also at other positions, how they compare, and maybe they're some of the top Patriots.
Who's the best at his position?
All right, why don't you say it then?
Well, I'm not going to say who you guys are going to use.
Well, it's kind of obvious. Oh. But, yeah, that'll be on the website tomorrow. People will be able to vote. And there's more than two Patriots that are in the conversation, because there are more than two Patriots that are considered to be the best at their position in the NFL. I would say there's at least four that are in the conversation. Is that accurate, Paul? Four Patriots who could claim to be in the conversation for the best at their position?
I mean, are you going to let me do what we talked about off the air and be a little bit specific or no?
Oh, no.
Okay. I can name four right off the top of my head.
I would say you could probably make an argument.
Yeah, because that one I didn't actually include.
But one of them is a specific subset of a position.
Of course it is. It's what Paul wanted to do for this debate.
I didn't really want to do it. I just wanted to see if I can make you a little head explode.
To which I responded, then I have to change my answer to Daniel Fells, because he's easily the best third tight end in football.
Oh, okay.
No, if you people want to be all antsy.
Of course, you have nothing to base that on.
No, he's pretty good.
How do you know?
Because he was a starter. If you go from starter to third, it's a good transition.
See, starting is very important to him.
Not really.
The funniest thing is that proving why Andy and I are the perfect match to do the Samsonite Make Your Case every Friday, and if you don't make sure you check that out every Friday on Patriots.com, shame on you if you haven't been.
Right.
True.
We can fabricate an argument on anything.
Oh, sure.
And we got one going upstairs. And I told him before we even started, I don't even believe this, but this is what I would say.
I don't like how you people know you can get me going. I like all these emails we're getting. And thanks, Fred, for getting Andy going. I don't care for that.
You don't care for that? I had a...
I'm not a pawn to just be toyed with in your little show.
I had someone tweeted me this morning, and I want to thank him for doing it.
Okay, while you look that up, I'll talk about Twitter, where I've been having another fight with the crap sheet, who's now with the NFL Network, because the moron tweeted out this morning a photo of Russell Wilson in Seahawks camp with an ad on his practice jersey, right, and said, "This is interesting. Does anyone else do this?" Yes, everyone, you moron.
Right.
And then when I called him on it, he responded with the Kobe Bryant, "Do I know him? Do I know you?"
Including
us,
the team that he covered.
Gillette.
Right.
For how many years? Four?
Right.
Three?
Right.
And the team that team played in the Super Bowl in the last thing that he covered as a beat writer.
I just think it's funny that you're going to just follow him around the globe no matter where he goes. You're going to be his arch nemesis.
I'm like his conscience, his guilty conscience, keeping him in line. Because I actually, when he said, "Do I know you?" I said, "Yeah, I'm the guy that made your life a living hell for the last few years."
And we'll continue to do
that. Jeff Howe is so happy that Ian's still tweeting because nothing falls onto Jeff now.
Well, as I said, somebody brought up, am I going to break Jeff Howe like I've broken Ian Rappaport and Eric Scalavino? And I said, no, I like Jeff Howe. And I just left it at that.
A fellow by the name of Guy Turner.
Somebody, is it Guy or Guy?
Could be Guy. I don't know. I'm going with Guy.
Hey, Guy.
Guy Lafleur, when he was Guy the Flower.
He tweeted a link to reviews of a men's hair removal product called Veet for Men off of Amazon. And let me tell you something. This stuff is comedy gold, these reviews. So I might read one during this show, but Kevin and or Matt, what I'd like to do, because there's like over 400 of them, I'd like to print them out, you know, on paper, and once a show, I'll read one of these reviews, because they are absolutely hysterical, and I've come up with new names for male genitalia that I've never ever heard used before. Unbelievably creative.
And since he's supposedly an expert in that area, it's good for him to learn the new lingo and everything.
I would hope you're an expert in that area, too, having, you know,
what?
Unless you don't have what men have.
I am apparently not an expert because I don't know why as soon as you see hair removal, the first place you think to put it is your scrotum.
Cleavage and camel toe. you gotta keep yourself neat in all areas. All areas.
Cleavage
right down
and camel
to your toenails.
I've never had an urge to shave my scrotum.
Well.
My sackage.
Nor have I.
I thought the only people that did that was porn stars and it was because it made it look bigger.
It's just good to do.
Is that true?
Yeah, they shave, you know, everywhere, and it gives you an extra inch or so of, like,
Paul will be back
bigger
in about 5 minutes.
All right. I guess so it's Veet, is it?
Veet. V-E-E-T.
So. But, I mean, you have plenty of areas where you could remove hair before you get to your scrotum.
I don't need any extra there, Matt. I'm doing all right.
Let me just read one brief one, okay? This is from someone named Andrew, and the title of his review is, "Do Not Put on Knob and Bollocks." Being a loose cannon who does not play by the rules, the first thing I did was ignore the warning and smear this all over my knob and bollocks. The bollocks I knew and loved are gone now. In their place is a maroon-colored bag of agony, which sends stabs of pain up my body every time it grazes against my thigh or an article of clothing. I am suffering so that you don't have to. Heed my lesson. Do not put on knob and bollocks. Although I am giving the product a 5, because despite the fact that I think my bollocks might fall off, they are now completely hairless.
My bollocks.
Cock and take.
And you shouldn't have hair on your knob, should you?
One more.
I don't have hair on my knob.
This is from Cantankerous Tiger.
My bollocks.
I like the clean-shaven look down in my gentleman's log cabin. So for the past few years, I've used a shaver. However, the hair keeps growing back, which means every 6 months I have to spend 20 minutes trimming again. As I'm sure you realize, this is a valuable time I cannot waste. So I decided to get to the root of the problem and purchase this product. Probably the first thing you will notice after using this product is the pain. Although as a man I lack the required experience, I'm going to estimate that using this product is at least 11 times more painful than childbirth. Imagine sticking a rusty razor blade into your favorite eye before tying your hands behind your back. Then imagine that you use the entrenched razor blade to slice open a raw onion, all the while being butt naked. This product is slightly more painful than that. However, if we ignore the blinding, crippling, and debilitating pain, I should point out that this product is remarkably effective. Before all manner of organisms, great and small, live down there, now nothing can grow, not even on a cellular level. Sadly, this includes my genitalia. I've spent the last 4 hours staring fixedly at Carol Vorderman's arse, all to no avail. My Twinkle Winkleton hasn't even so as much perked up. So if my review seems a bit harsh, it's only because I wanted children. All in all, an effective and reasonably priced product, 3 stars.
Roethlisberger's
and there's
is
all
this,
like I said, there's like 400 of these. It's good stuff.
Fred, how did you come about looking this up and looking for these reviews?
No, because I said somebody tweeted me this morning with a link to these reviews. Yeah,
right. Tom Brady never shaves.
Googling sack hair removal.
No, apparently, you know, this has become quite a thing in the UK. Everybody writes their, or a lot of people have written reviews.
I love how they're 11 times worse than childbirth, but it works. Battery acid would too.
I mean, disregard the crippling pain. Right.
And it no longer works. You have a cleanly shaven, broken unit.
I mean, it could be part battery acid, the way people are. I mean, there's ones that are even better than that. I didn't go down the list, but we'll do that from
future
time
episode
to time. We'll read the Veet for Men reviews.
I say it again. I still never under. And how do you shave down there?
You use the man groomer.
But, like, when you shave your face, you need, like, kind of like a top surface.
The man groomer.
Well, you
He's
don't go down.
Man groomer.
I don't go down. I just keep it neat. You don't go down to the bare skin.
So it's stubble?
Not necessarily.
That would seem annoying for your lady friends.
No, it's not whiskers. It's not whiskers.
And I really, really felt bad that I wasn't here on Tuesday. I missed
a
show.
Very good show.
I hate missing shows. And then, you know, 10 minutes into the show, Fred doesn't go down. That's what we're discussing.
I differ on. When I hear him talk about the Patriots, he goes down every time.
Oh,
Jesus.
That's very funny.
Yeah. I heard he went out with the Eiffel Tower. Ho!
Giving respect to the team that has been one of the most successful football teams ever, no doubt, the past decade.
That's true.
You can't do that.
You respect the full 10.
Can't do that.
Years.
Can't do that.
Why are you like that?
I don't know. Can we argue? You want to argue the top 100, or are we going right to emails?
I was going to go to emails, but if you want to bring that up, you can.
Well, are we to? He has Aaron Rodgers number one. Over
that's
Brady.
Ridiculous. Oh, I'm sorry.
Brady dropped out of the top slot. You think that's how it's going to play out on NFL Network?
No.
Rodgers will be number one?
No. Nope.
Really?
Nope.
Who do you think is going to be one?
I'm not sure. Maybe Calvin Johnson?
He has Johnson as 4, DeMarcus Ware 3. His top 5 rounded out by Darrell Revis. You okay with that? 5th best player in football?
I'm surprised he didn't take more of a fall after last year.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. No. I asked him if he was kidding. He said, yeah. So
Drew Brees is
6. Him serious.
Jason Pierre-Paul 7, which is a miraculous jump, almost like the guy who's number 10, Gronkowski. 2 guys weren't on the list a year ago, now
went
in the top,
to the top 10.
10. Julius Peppers moved, actually, I find this surprising, moved up to 8 from 11. I was under the impression he didn't have quite as good a year this year.
I don't have the full information on Julius Peppers. So
I don't
couldn't
either.
Tell you if he had a great year or not.
I doubt Pete Prisco does either. Although maybe he really broke down his top 10. Patriots on the list. After those two, Gronkowski 10, Brady 2. Number 30, Vincent Wilfork jumped up 30 spots from 60 a year earlier, which I found interesting given the struggles the Patriots had on defense.
And he fell 40 in the NFL.
Yeah, he went the other way on NFL Network.
That's interesting.
And then we have 42.
Yeah, Wilfork must talk to Prisco.
Wes Welker at number 42 overall. Was not ranked by Prisco a year earlier. Was honorable mention. Not among his top 100 players a year earlier. And then we jump way down to Logan Mankins at 87. He's the last Patriot. Logan Mankins, who was just ranked on the NFL Network, won in the 60s. What was his exact number? 64, 5, 4?
And just to be clear, these are Pete Prisco's rankings.
Well, he says that. My eyes, my ears,
right.
My film.
Whereas the NFL Network one is the
players. Theoretically.
Right.
And would say Aaron Hernandez was 101, his honorable mention. Just missed the list at 101, which
okay.
I find interesting.
All right.
So altogether again, the Patriots had how many?
5.
4?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5.
Okay, fine.
And then an
Brady, Gronk,
right,
Welker.
Welker's in, right.
Brady, Gronk, Welker, Wilfork, and
Mankins.
Mankins, yeah.
Mankins. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. Well, that's. I would argue that you could say that Brady, Gronkowski, Mankins, and Wilfork could be argued as the best at their position in the NFL.
And I was going to say, if you consider slot receiver a position, Welker.
Right. Well, right. That's when I say if you consider third tight end a position, Daniel Fells.
Well, it isn't, so.
Well, nor is slot receiver.
It really is.
No, because he actually doesn't always line up in the slot. So do I only count the snaps when he's in the slot? And does Calvin Johnson never line up in the
okay,
slot?
What's the,
is Joe Staley the best slot receiver in the NFL?
What does a third tight end receiver do? What is a third tight end receiver known to do?
I don't know what the question is.
They're known to
what
back up the first
tight
and
end
second receiver.
Receiver.
That's
what
they
do. What
is
a third tight end receiver?
You know, that's
you're not even speaking
that's
English
what you
or
just
football
said.
Lingo.
Well, that's what
no, I said he's the best third tight end. I didn't say
right.
best third tight end receiver.
Well, what is the third
you
tight end?
You made him a slash player like fantasy football.
What is
I don't even know what you're asking.
What does a third tight end do? What does a third tight end do?
Whatever he's told to do. Whatever he's told to do.
He backs up the first and
whatever
second
he's
tight
told
end.
To
that's
do.
All he does.
So you can get all huffy and puffy, but
there
Wes Welker is not the
role.
Best receiver in football.
There is a specific role for a slot tight end.
Now it's a slot tight end.
I mean a slot receiver.
The guy can't speak.
I mean,
are you
going to
take anything from this man? He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Despite the fact that the man can't speak English, you don't think there's a difference between a slot receiver and a backup tight end?
Oh, now he's a backup. What if he
yes,
starts?
Yes, that's what
a third
tight
end
is.
They
back up the first and second tight end.
Often open in three tight end sets.
But Welker starts every game, correct?
Most. No, not every game, but most. Oh, nice.
All right. I mean, I would say that the majority of teams.
He's a receiver.
Now
is he the best
three receivers
receiver
that
or
play
not?
The majority of snaps on offense?
A better argument.
So I think it's an argument. But I don't
three
think
starting receivers.
But I don't think this.
So you have to compare him to other receivers, not just. The
but
slot
I don't
receivers.
Think there are
no, a better
teams
argument.
That play three
you
tight ends
make,
regularly.
No,
I don't need you. You can't speak. Don't
a better
give me
argument
arguments.
You should make is, you know, what about
yes, break
what about third down backs?
Why is that any better or worse?
Right. You know what I mean. So
I do know what you mean.
Yeah.
But it's irrelevant. You compare running backs to running backs. You compare wide receivers to wide receivers. Is he the best receiver in the game? No.
Right? I agree with that.
Thank you. So he's not in the conversation. So there's four Patriots in the conversation.
But you couldn't make an argument for it?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, but I'm asking if you could make an argument for it.
Then you have to include slot corners, not just cornerbacks, which I don't think you do that. I think it's watering everything
down.
Well,
what about nickel corner? I don't think you should, but what about it?
Okay, he's definitely a backup. He's back in your tight end mold because he's a nickel player.
Right. No, I agree. Yeah.
And some teams, the nickel corner is not the slot corner because some teams the guy bumps inside.
Patriots do that a lot.
There's just too much fluff here. You're either the best or you're not. Right? So does Aldon Smith not get credit to being one of the best pass rushers in the game because he's a backup? He doesn't start. He's a substitution player. He's a nickel player. But
who are you arguing with yourself?
Well, I'm arguing with all you people. You're either great or you're not. Welker's very good. He's not among the best receivers in the game right now. Right? Fans?
I think he's among. Absolutely. No, he's among.
He's not the best receiver.
Argue he's not the best. He's not better than Calvin Johnson. He's not better than Larry Fitzgerald.
But right. I remember a guy on NFL Network last year saying that he was the
best. But you can't argue
in the NFL.
No. Okay. So that's the difference. Yeah. Those other four, you can. You can argue that Logan Mangus is the best guard. There's people that believe he's the best guard.
Jaws.
Vince Wilfork has been argued as the best nose tackle.
Right.
Right? Or well, defensive tackle.
Nose tackle? Okay. So but here we go.
Defensive tackle.
All right.
Seriously, Michael Irvin did make an argument that he was the best receiver in the NFL last year,
Michael
right?
Irvin's an idiot.
Okay. So anybody who says something that you completely disagree with is therefore
no,
an idiot.
You have made Michael Irvin an idiot. You believe him to be an idiot.
I do believe him
Thank
to
you.
Be an idiot.
So he's an idiot.
But...
Because you're the be-all end-all.
All I
ask is an idiot.
No. But Andy happens to have some knowledge that I agree with Andy in this case. And he's using that against me here. I'm saying you can't make an argument?
I don't believe so.
Well, some people do believe that he is.
Who?
I think the guy who...
Name someone outside of New England.
Yes, Wes Welker's agent and Michael Irvin.
I don't think Michael Irvin believes it.
But he did say... He did...
I think
it
was
pretty strong,
talking.
And we had
a
big feature in the
talks.
Paper about it.
He's a man who just talks. I don't think he truly believes it. Because he also was doing what you guys are doing. He's the best slot receiver in the game.
No, he said he was the best receiver in the NFL.
He was full of crap.
You know
if
that I totally...
If I made him draft a receiver
you
today,
stop
you tell me he's
me?
Taking Wes Welker over Calvin Johnson? That is the dumbest. Because Calvin Johnson,
I
guess
agree
what?
With
if
you.
He lined up in the slot, would be way better than Wes Welker.
I agree with you. I'm just simply saying...
Fred's just eating.
He should be you could make an argument. I don't think it would be the right one.
You can argue anything. We prove that on this show twice a week for 4 hours.
But you can't make an argument that Stephen Ridley is the best running back in football.
He might be. How do you know he's not going to rush for 2,000 yards this year? I could make an argument.
Based on what we know right now,
he averaged 5.1 yards
a
carry last year.
But based on what we know about
West, best running backs in football do.
It just depends on your criteria.
The best running backs in football don't carry the ball 87 times.
No, but he averaged 5.1 a carry.
How many?
The starter is gone. So he could legitimately rush for 2,000 yards this year, and you would then say.
Just let me know right now, because my food's here. I'll take the rest of the show off if this is what we're going to do today. No matter what me and Fred say, you're just going to yell at us and argue.
I'm not going to yell at you, but I don't think Wes Welker.
I don't think Welker is the best wide receiver in football.
Okay, then let's move on.
I agree with you. I'm simply saying, why can't you make an argument for it when he's been more productive than any receiver in football for 5 years?
Well, and if you want to use stats, then yes, that's true. But you don't believe it. Nobody believes it.
But you think that's the same as saying Stephen Ridley could rush 2,000 yards? No. Well, Wes Welker already caught over 100 passes 4 out of the last 5 years.
Right.
I don't think he's the best receiver in football. I don't think he's close.
He isn't.
I agree with you.
So why are you arguing?
But some people disagree with us. Us.
Not really.
Me, not you, us.
Not really.
Okay, so now you just dismiss.
I dismiss all the Homer Patriots fans, and I dismiss the whack job. I don't think there's a person whose opinion I respect would tell me that Wes Welker is the best wide receiver in football. I don't. I don't think there's an argument.
I agree, because if there wasn't an argument, we wouldn't be having this contract dispute.
Right. Right. No.
But that's not entirely true either, because the contract dispute has got more to do with his age and what people think he's going to do going forward.
I think age is part of it. I also think what he is part of it. He's not irreplaceable. Calvin Johnson, irreplaceable. They deemed Vince Wilfork and Logan Mankins irreplaceable. I don't think I really don't. If Wes Welker were 27, I don't think they'd be handing him $87 million. I don't, because I don't think he's totally irreplaceable, that you can't find that. I don't think they think he's worthy of number one money.
Well, he'd certainly make a lot more than they're offering
elsewhere.
Yeah,
would he?
Because
get
I think
Calvin
someone
Johnson
else
contract.
Would pay him. Yeah. No shot in hell he'd get the Calvin Johnson.
Exactly. That's kind of my argument.
No shot if they were, in Hades.
If they were the same age, played the same amount of years, would he get that even close
and
to that contract?
And I'm using them as my part of my barometer. They made Tom Brady the highest-paid quarterback. They made Logan Mankins the highest-paid guard. They made Vince Wilfork, I think at the time you could argue somehow he was the highest-paid
defensive
whatever. Tackle. They're going to make Rob Gronkowski the highest-paid tight end in football. They're not going to make Wes Welker the highest-paid wide receiver in football.
Why is this making so much noise today?
Although they might make him the highest-paid slot receiver in football.
Boy, he really has a bug up his ass today, doesn't he?
Really does. You know what? On the line right now is our lunch buyer, Michelle Stockholm from Sweden. Hey,
Ooh,
Michelle.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey, yeah.
How you doing?
Hi. I'm good. How are you guys?
First of all, thank you for lunch. We're eating.
Yes. You're so welcome.
Thank you very much, Michelle. Very nice.
I heard from your producer that you're all eating very healthy.
Okay.
Yeah, sort of.
No.
Okay.
No.
If bacon is
no.
healthy.
No. And I also promised Eric I'd buy you guys lunch again when he's back. Because I felt bad. I didn't know he was leaving for France this week.
He's a pompous douche. Don't feel bad.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
He's kind of black. A little bit.
So,
a little bit.
So,
well, I just wanted to call in and say hi. And basically just say hi. And you guys are totally saving all Patriots fans. The offseason is so much better with you guys.
Well, thank you, Michelle.
Very nice of you, Michelle.
Just to get a little background, when did you become a Patriots fan?
Oh, in the early 90s.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I went to school out there in Providence.
Oh, wow. Not RISD.
Yeah.
Which school?
No. I went to Brown.
Oh, Brown. Okay. So where Eric wanted to go.
I was saying to myself, please say Brown. Please say Brown. Please say Brown.
I went there for a minute.
Okay. All right.
Yes,
well, that's awesome.
Brown.
Thank you for lunch, and we do hope that you get us into some type of movie.
The perfect role for us.
Yes, I will. I will definitely keep my ears to the ground.
Okay.
I'm kind of a leading
man. Have a good
type.
One, guys.
All right, thanks,
Thank
Michelle.
Thank you again, Michelle.
Michelle, just calling
Michelle
in to
Stockholm.
Say hi and, you know, buy us lunch. That's great.
I think I could be a leading man in a movie. Because, you know, in real life, I'm not tall enough, but in the movies, they just put you on a box and make you look like you're a legitimate man.
Right. You're not a legitimate man. So
like Mike Reese in his
work.
Box? Right. Or Tom Cruise. They're all short, and they all put them on boxes, and they look like they can be leading men.
Right.
You just almost spilled soda everywhere.
Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398.
Is that her name?
Michelle from Stockholm, Sweden. It's amazing. People from around the world buy us lunch on this show.
Yes, it is.
And they call in. That can't be cheap to call here.
Well, in this day and age, she's probably got, it's probably on the company tab, too.
Right.
She's doing a casting call.
Wyatt Dodge, our favorite cowboy from Alaska, writes in. He says, where do you think we'll rank in the next year's standings in offense and defense? For offense, I see us being number one and defense number 27 or 28. What do you think? Is Brady's cut in salary this season like Elway's, where when he gets older, he takes a cut in salary to get better players around him? What is Brady's cut in salary like? And glad we got, and I'm glad we got Welker back.
0.0.
Well, I think Andy's talking about Brady's cut in salary there. I think they'll be better than 27th or 28th in defense. I don't know how much better. And I think we're talking in terms of yards with that, not points, right?
Right.
Because I'm relatively certain they'll be better than 27 or 28 in points.
Well, that would be a drop. That would be an improvement.
I think that you could expect somewhere in that middle, in the middle 10, you know, somewhere in the teens in defense, I think would be significant improvement. If you could finish somewhere between, you know, they were 31st last year. If you could jump 10 spots, 10 or 12 spots, I think that would be a significant improvement. I think potentially they could do that. I agree. I know Andy's going to attack me here because he's going to say that they don't have any depth. They don't have starters because you have to have starters to have depth. And he gets into his, you know, his little rant there. Thought I'd save you the trouble while you were reading, Andy.
I always thought a guy who started was a starter.
No.
Okay.
There are guys who start, and there are starters.
You see, listen, I tried to avoid it.
Right.
Now you're going to get the Indyism.
This team has started many, many people over the years who aren't even close to starters.
Or hasn't every team done that?
Yes.
Okay.
This team more than most.
Okay.
They choose to do it.
And?
When you choose to start Eric Alexander, when you choose to start Tracy White.
And they win more than
most. Used to.
Oh, they don't now?
I thought Super Bowl.
I think they won more than most teams last year.
Not the Giants. I'm watching them collect their second ring in 4 years at the hands of this team.
I think they win more than most, not the Giants. I said I think they win more than most.
I thought we wanted to win more than all. I thought we wanted to win titles.
We do, but you have to be successful every year in order to have that chance, and I think that's what the Patriots do.
Oh, we weren't overly successful when we were going one and done in the postseason.
All right.
The idea is to win a ring.
So we're going to demean the success that the Patriots have
had
over the last decade.
Not at all. We're just not going to make it more than it is.
That's all right.
What I really wanted to do is, I didn't know this. For some reason, I thought the Giants had another Super Bowl ring. I didn't, like, they're all Bill. Bill is responsible for all of their Super Bowl rings. He helped them win two, and then he gave them the other two. Like, I thought they won a title at some other point. Were they, like, NFL titles or something?
Oh, the Giants have a lot of, like in the 60s, in the 50s.
I don't know.
I don't know if they won them all, but they lost the...
Parcells was the first Super Bowl they won.
Yeah, they were considered the greatest game ever played. Back in the 50s, there the first overtime game with Unitas, and they lost that game. But
Bill Belichick responsible for all their rings.
Involved in.
I mean, I think it's a little strong to say he gave them the other two.
Being an ass.
Oh, so you don't think he was responsible for the first two or the last two?
He's being an ass.
I think. First of all, I don't think he was responsible for the two they won, but. To say that he gave them the other two is just, even for you, over the top.
Some people believe they choked.
I think they did choke in 07, but that doesn't mean the coach just gave them the ring.
You think they choked this year?
No.
No.
They were not the better team?
Not that day.
I think they were two very evenly matched teams.
Well, no. It's not about that. They weren't the better team the day in 2007, but that's considered one of the great choke jobs in NFL.
No, I think that they were the better team personnel-wise in 07. I don't necessarily think that's the case in... Do you?
I think they were the better team. I think they were both chokes. I think they should have won both.
Oh, I think going into the game, most people thought that the Giants were more balanced. I think in certain areas, maybe the Patriots had an edge, but I think overall,
I thought they easily could have won both games. But I don't think they choked in 11. I think those were two very evenly matched teams.
But I thought they were the better.
Well, you don't
team
live
in both
up
games.
To expectations.
Well, then I would say they choked
on a big level.
Then I would say they choked. They had the best offense in the NFL.
I mean, you could definitely make an argument that the play that they did not connect, the play, everybody knows what we're talking about. That's a choke.
Yeah, but
that's a pitch and catch that should be made. And
I think
physically
the choke happens,
but I don't think they choked.
You were in that. The choke led to that situation. I don't consider that the choke. I consider the choke being your defense allowed you to play, and you should have scored enough points so that one stinking play didn't change the game.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, listen, it's kind of like our MVP argument, Fred, that you and I periodically have. there's no definition of choke. It's a subjective thing. To me, it's one of those things you know when you see.
Right.
I think when it's 4th and 13 from the 30-yard line and you go for it, that's a choke. Because I think you do something that's out of character. Yeah. And I think that you kind of get tight in the moment. I think that Bill choked on that call, on that particular play.
The Ravens kicker choked.
That's a. I mean, you could visibly see him not kick that ball the same way that he kicked every other ball probably in his life.
Yeah.
You've seen guys.
You let the moment get to him.
You've seen guys shoot free throws where you can visibly see the guy's arm not fluidly. LeBron James looks like he wants to, you know, have a Hershey squirt come down his leg.
And that's when
he's
Barkley
so nervous
says he
about
couldn't
it.
Get a pin up his ass with a jackhammer.
Absolutely. I mean, you can actually. I think you can physically see a player choke, and I don't think I saw.
Well, then
that.
They didn't choke.
I don't think they choked in.
I think
11.
As a team they choked though.
Yeah, I don't think.
You should win.
I don't think they were as good. I don't think they were vastly superior to the Giants. I think they played twice, and they played nose to nose twice. And I don't think there was really much to really determine who was better.
But
that's the way I felt the game was going to go heading in.
But if you
I thought it would
that,
be a little
it's the
higher
same for
scoring.
Both years. It's the same for both years.
Yeah. See, I thought they were clearly better than the Giants. And
but
in,
you can't argue because they played twice and
you
it
are,
was down
you
to
are,
the wire.
You are correct.
The only difference is they won one.
You are correct. I just thought that the Giants.
I think
the Giants were fortunate to hang around in the first game.
I think you can make the case that they choked in 07 because of the way that they let Brady just get manhandled like that. That, you know. So you could make, but not 11.
It's not as dramatic of whatever you want to call it. I still think they should have won both games.
Okay. Tyler.
I think you can make an argument for that.
Sure.
I think you can clearly say the Patriots should have won.
Sure. I picked them.
I'm not necessarily using that as my gauge, but I think after the way you watch the game unfold, I think you could say the Patriots should have won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Now, the Giants, if I were a Giants fan, I think I would probably look at it the other way and say I had a 9-0 lead early. I had it rolling.
Right.
You know, and, you know, we let it get away, and then we were able to regain our composure and get it back at the end and won.
Tyler from Danbury writes in, wanted to say I love the last show. I always kind of thought Dante Stallworth was a tool, but really had nothing to base it on other than public perception. After listening to the interview, though, I realized I'd probably been wrong these last few years. Anyway, just wanted to get your opinion on the idea that Brady can't throw the deep ball anymore. Seems that he hasn't been good the last few years doing it, and the numbers I've seen have kind of backed it up. I'll argue and debate with my Jets friends it hasn't happened, but deep down in places I don't talk about at parties where some on your show fantasize about the men from 300... I think it might be true. I'm not necessarily
that would be Andy.
I'm not necessarily saying he doesn't have the arm strength, but maybe his aim isn't where it was. Thoughts?
I don't think he is a great deep ball thrower. That said, I don't think he has a lot to work with. I mean, I don't necessarily hold it against him if he's throwing deep balls to Matthew Slater. Yeah. I mean, when you gave him a good deep ball talent,
right.
He put on a show.
He had no problem.
So I think it's it's a strength of his game. If I had to list his strengths, it'd be near the bottom. But I don't think he's as bad as people are now trying to paint it to be either.
Yeah, right. I agree with both of you guys. I don't think it was ever really a strength of his game. I think Andy made the point. When you gave him a special talent, all of a sudden he was good at it. I don't think a lot of those – I mean, there's certainly the one that comes to mind the most is the record-setting one that – Moss got the 23rd and was Brady's 50th, was just perfect. Just a in-stride, perfect down, bomb. But a lot of those deep throws weren't great throws.
No, it's Moss just going up and making the play.
But that's
made
how
plays.
It works. Yeah. When you're throwing the ball 40, 50 yards downfield, there's not too many that are going to put it on the exact spot every time.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever been really a huge strength of his game.
I mean, it's not, but... That doesn't mean he can't do it, and that doesn't mean with Brandon Lloyd, who's maybe better at it, that he won't have success. Right. Bethel Johnson, I mean, some of the guys that have been his supposed deep threats, leave something to be desired. Certainly Matthew Slater, who's not even a receiver. But he also, at times, I think he makes really poor throws deep. I mean, and sometimes it comes late, the Gronkowski one, or who was the Matthew Mulligan? Was a backside guy like a fifth read a couple of years ago, and he threw a terrible deep ball to him. I don't think it's natural for him. I think it's one of the things that he has to work on.
Who was that?
I don't know, the tight end from the Giants who had a chance in a preseason game to have a, it might have been a regular season game. I don't know. It was a bomb, and Brady found him backside wide open, and it was a terribly underthrown ball.
Let's see.
Might not have been Matthew Mulligan. John, I think he's on the Jets.
John from Bethesda has a problem with the sound. He says it's too low, Kevin. Just so you
is
know.
It better?
Side note, with all the articles about Markell Carter being improved, any chance he will contribute? I know you're... Last year's pass rush wasn't listed as his best feature. It was pass coverage. Although in a after
Whoa, what?
He said, I know last year pass rush wasn't listed as his best feature.
He's a pass rusher.
It was pass coverage. Although in a after draft article, you were all you interviewed his college coach. He did say pass rushing was his strongest feature.
Yeah.
Though they didn't ask him ask of him to do that a lot in their scheme.
No, I don't know what you're reading.
I was
a defensive end pass rusher at a low level of football.
I actually watched tape today just to prepare myself a little bit for him. He gets into like a 4-point stance a lot.
All he does is rush from
the outside.
So know? I don't know what you're reading. Yeah. I do think there's a chance he contributes. I think I've thought much more of that since I found out he gained 25 pounds of muscle. And they need somebody to contribute. I mean, they have major holes there, as we've talked about. You lost the bulk of your defensive end production in Andre Carter and Mark Anderson, and I don't think Chandler Jones is ready to come in and play, you know, 90% of your snaps. So there's going to be a lot of rotating going on,
yeah.
And he's been here for a year. He should have a little edge on, you know, the scheme and
Paul,
everything.
Big news in the disco.
Really?
Donna Summer is dead.
No!
According to strippers.
That's
what does she sing?
That's just that's
she
unbelievable.
She was big
I'm gonna
in
need
Paul's
a
life.
I'm going to need a moment.
Yeah, Donna Summer.
You got to be kidding me.
Well, that's what strippers are saying.
She's not
he
that
would
old,
know.
Is she?
He would
I did see that on
60s maybe
on Yahoo earlier. 63.
Yeah, that's.
I'm surprised she's that old.
That's stunning to me.
Yeah.
Probably means you're old.
What did she sing?
Hot Stuff, Bad Girls,
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance. MacArthur
that's what everybody
Park.
Knows her for.
Yep.
She works hard for her money.
Again, Paul out there with his Sansa belt slacks.
I was
crazy with the disco.
I was a huge Donna Summer fan.
Yeah.
On the radio.
Do you still have disco clothes?
Clothes?
Yeah.
I never had disco clothes. I know that Fred
I just had a mental image of him like squeezing
wait
into
a minute.
Disco
I know Fred. I, first of all,
anything
as I've said many times,
was
I wasn't always fat.
No, okay? No. You were nice and slim
but
back
I know,
then.
I know Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at... The discos in my prime.
Discotheque.
I would have had to have been about 4 at the discos to have done this that Fred thinks.
Well, what was the music playing in the clubs when you go?
In the clubs? Like 80s music.
Oh,
that's when I was in the clubs. Crap.
Well, some of the, I mean, disco was 70s. I mean, some clubs still played disco in the 80s.
You could go to clubs that, like, had disco.
Right,
like,
and you
but
went.
They were more like retro clubs.
You didn't go?
But you
can't
didn't,
your picture,
but, like,
Paul?
I'm talking, like, Studio 54, stuff like that.
Yeah.
No, I was, like, the kid.
Right.
Can't you picture Paul with, like, the big mutton chops and bell bottoms?
Now,
shirt like Fred.
So you could picture me with mutton chops.
So you were dancing to, like, Devo and Rock Lobster
yeah.
and all
well,
that?
Well, yeah, Devo. Yeah.
Crap.
Ugh. So I had a tough music.
Is disco gay because John Travolta's gay?
He's not gay. I think.
First of all, John Travolta is gay.
Is he really?
They're coming out of the woodwork left and right, people he's banged. Now, I'm not saying that makes you gay, I guess.
I think that's,
he's had
know.
A lot of sex
kinda
with men.
Gay.
You know, I listen, it's neither here nor there. Whatever the man does is his own business. But a lot of people thought that disco, yeah, I mean, disco was a gay haven in the late 70s.
Watching 300 and dancing to disco.
Jim
it's a home for everybody.
Jim
disco.
Jim in Pittsburgh
trannies.
Writes in, I'm living here in Steeler country.
Am Yins I wrong?
Don't know what kind of torture that is, but I count on you for my Patriots fix. I have to listen after the fact, but I look forward to hearing you guys argue. And thanks, Fred, for getting Andy going each week.
A couple of summer, man.
A couple
you
shows back, I think Fred was talking about organ donation, and I had an idea. Fred, can you donate an organ to Gino so he can sew it to his hip? And PFW's story time will live on in infamy. Keep up the great shows. Paul, it must be hard being the voice of reason, especially with your past. I don't know what that
means. With my past?
Hang around for a little while.
No one's ever called me the voice of reason. Well, actually, no, that's not true. You know who calls me the voice of reason? John Mallory.
Yeah.
John Malura used to write that about me in his column.
My problem is Gino Capoletti outliving me so that I can donate an organ to him. That would be kind of disappointing.
Could happen. Tom Brady could throw a ball through a Fruit Loop today.
Web radio at pages.com. Markel Carter's coming later, so hang on for that. You guys have your questions ready for Markel?
Andy does. I gave Andy my only question that I had.
Okay.
So I don't really have much to add there. But Andy talked to him on Saturday, so I think he's a little bit more in tune to what might be interesting to ask.
Matt from Denmark, I guess we were in the middle of answering his question last show, and then the news broke that Welker signed his franchise tender, so we didn't get to it. So I'll read it again. For some reason, I really like that the Patriots drafted Alphonso Denard. I have read as much about him as I could, and I watched whatever video to be found on YouTube, and I really think that he looks like a very good player. Only issue, yeah, you know, it's never a good thing to be in a fight with a cop, but I think that for him going to New England and hopefully learn to do things the Patriots way might just make him a very valuable pick and make him get control of what he's doing off the field. What do you guys think the chances are for him not only to become a starter but actually an impact player?
Yes and yes. I think he has the chance to do both.
Yeah, I think that was a terrific pick because when you get a guy, you know, three or four rounds after most of the experts deemed him his value to be, I think that's a no-lose situation. If he doesn't pan out or the off-field thing is more serious than the Patriots think it is, you know, you really haven't given up a whole lot there. Just as a point of clarification, Andy and I were told that it's Dennard.
Oh, Dennard.
He pronounces his name Dennard, not Denard. But okay. We haven't spoken to him. We had rookie minicamp last weekend, and conspicuous by his absence was the seventh-round pick.
Who waived his hearing yesterday.
Well, that, you know, that would be consistent with the Patriots because, remember with Haynesworth, guys who have, like, pending legal issues, they don't let talk until after it's kind of been resolved.
Okay.
TG and NJ.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't criticizing anybody with that. I was just saying that.
I didn't say you were.
Oh, no, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't want you to think that I was doing my anything, but because I know how you do.
Which is where they fight about it. He wasn't criticizing. He wasn't going to fight about it.
No, I happen to think Fred is dead on. I think that's a wise course of action. There's a suit pending, so keep the guy quiet. Protect him from himself, as Fred likes to say.
TG. And the copy hit.
See, that's why they hate you.
TG and NJ says, hey, guys, been a while. Work has gotten busy, but I've been hitting the podcast. Must say these off-season shows have been very entertaining, even though there's less football talk. Here's a rundown of what I have learned so far.
Some would argue because.
I now know more about Squidward's personal life than I ever wanted to. Can't wait till he goes to France and ends the drought so Andy can stop badgering him. Well, that's not going to happen either. Andy has become more gay since he started lifting again and watching 300. Still find it funny that he calls Squidward gay, the pot calling the kettle black. It becomes apparent that Paulie is the only member of the show with no gay tendencies. Fred, I'm disappointed about the alpacas, but am excited you decided to raise veal instead, going with the meat over the wool. Good choice. This season will be decided by Brady's health. He doesn't get injured. Then I'm on the wagon with Fred to New Orleans. Welcome back home, Cousin Jabbar. All right, back to your conversation about Squidward's cousin, animals raised for food, and men with breasts. So, that is a typical show, I would have to say.
Can we get, like, live updates from France from Eric, if he's listening? We need to know when it happens.
It's not going to happen, because he's refusing to go see a woman of the night.
He won't.
I told him to make sure that, just to keep in mind, Freddie, you get what you pay for.
That's right.
Don't cheap out.
That is true.
You better wrap that. You know what?
That is true.
By the way, Paul's not the only one broken up about this Donna Summer thing.
I'm devastated.
Pete Shepard has taken to the Facebook. He's really mourning.
So oh, really?
What we've learned here is fat guys like Donna Summer.
you should have seen the look Paul just gave Andy.
Actually, later they'll learn how it died.
Donna Summer, listen, this is. I'm going to need a moment.
Really?
This is unbelievable.
Now, is she Motown? Or?
No, she was.
Disco.
Giorgio.
She was disco.
Giorgio Moroder, something like that. I think.
Talking about her label?
Her, like, producer.
Wow.
Did you have a chance to meet her, Paul?
No.
Pete met her.
She was from around here. She was from Dorchester.
So met her twice.
Bigger thing for you, Donna Summer's death or Whitney Houston's?
Oh, Donna Summer.
Really?
Houston. I mean, Whitney Houston had unbelievable talents, but I didn't really care about Whitney Houston.
Now, she's not the person.
There must
Donna
be some
Summer
memory
was
attached.
I like
to
disco.
Donna
I'm
Summer
not afraid to admit it.
That is this where you lost it? To a Donna Summer song?
Again, he has me losing my virginity at about 8.
Alan Everett, you know. Happens.
But there must be something attached to Donna Summer to make her so, you know.
Just, I like the songs.
Really?
Did you have a poster of her in your room that you used to, you know,
I had the album. I had a big double album on the radio. Good
on
stuff.
On the radio? What's that?
That was the name of the album, On the Radio.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah. Wow. 8-track?
I'll bet I have a cassette up in my desk that I had to take out of my car, and I'm still trying to work it to getting all my cassettes onto a disc.
Paul needs the opposite. Remember how you used to have the old CD player that you put in the cassette player in your car? He needs one that you put a CD in that's attached to a tape player so he can play his Donna Summers. Why don't you invent that, Fred?
Sorry. I don't think there's a lot of people in Paul's position these days.
Probably not. And if they are, they just buy the CD.
Right.
Just
download it.
Darling.
Right.
She on your
iPad. You can't do that, you know, Paul. Download the
I'm
music.
Just trying to think of why. I'm trying to answer your question
why
in
you
my
love
mind.
Her?
Why that is such a.
Yeah.
Was she hot?
No, not particularly. I mean, she wasn't unattractive, but.
Dancing and going to clubs must have been big for you.
Love to Love You, Baby. Remember that song? You have, like, no recollection of any of these songs?
No, a couple of them struck a nerve.
Was there a girl that you liked that really liked Donna Summer?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's in there.
I do remember, like, I do remember, like, we used to go ice skating, public skating.
Okay.
And
I like stories.
I think there might be something there in terms of the girls that you're hinting at. Gotcha. There might have been, like, Donna Summer songs on, but that's not why I like Donna Summer.
All right.
But I do remember they always would play
right.
Donna Summer
was
songs.
There a particular girl that you were trying to
oh, you'd always like
whose
you know,
eye you were trying to get?
You know, like you know, they would you'd let a girl like get your hat and you'd yeah. like pretend you were chasing her and, you know, stuff like that.
Like Gina Machiavetti or something like that.
Every Gina in the history yeah. of the planet, as you know, is hot.
Right.
Friend of
the
That's
show
fact,
Dante Stallworth just tweeted, "Damn. Hashtag RIP Donna Summer. Great music you left us with. Thank you. God bless."
Yeah. So, you know, I guess she had a cancer.
She had the cancer?
She had cancer.
She had got the cancer.
A long bout with cancer. Yemi from Texas, can Andy and Paul give us their true opinion of Welker? Fred is the only one that is consistent on Welker. He believes Welker is good. Andy and Paul vacillate on whether Welker is good
I've been
or overrated.
Forever. Only
Once
fat
and for all,
boy vacillates.
Can Paul and Andy tell us what they really think
I've been
of
consistent
Welker?
All along. Paul went from
I'm
pay him 50
million. You call me fat boy.
Paul went from pay him $50 million to, oh, he's back to being loose change. He's not that good again, or 6 yards a catch. I've been consistent. I think he's good, not great. Very simple. I've never changed on that.
That's how I feel.
No, you've gone from loose change to $50 million, and now you're back to loose change. Just chew the cookie and talk.
I don't think he can have the numbers that he has without being great.
No, listen.
I don't know that to be true.
My one real change was when he got here, I thought he was loose change. He's obviously proven me wrong. He's more than loose change. But the whole $50 million thing was like a one, that was like coming off one game that he won, that I think it was the Buffalo game when he was basically the whole offense.
I know. And you said, oh, yeah, pay him $50 million.
You got me on an emotional, I mean, God forbid we have a whole unit of your stupid things and you get all mad at us.
Like what?
Like, you know, 6-10 is the record you're most associated with.
I never said that!
After the Tampa Bay preseason game, this is going to be the best
defense
ever!
Wait a minute, do you
Andre Carter, Defensive Player of the Year.
Ooh, that was a tough one.
Jerome Mayo, Defensive Player of the Year.
So sometimes you can
well,
say
I said,
things.
Actually said neither would win it because they were going to split the vote. I think he's physically gifted. The quickness, the ability to catch the ball, take hits, all of that. But I don't think he's great. I think Troy Brown could have been similar had he come along at a similar time.
All right, what? And I'm being serious. What would Welker need to do to be great in your eyes?
Be taller, faster, stronger, more yards per catch, a lot of that stuff. I think he's a very good player, but I think a lot of guys, if you have the ability, if you're quick enough to get any separation, and that's a skill. Not everybody can do that. and you catch the ball, I think in that role you're going to catch 80-plus passes, 90-plus passes in that role. Now, maybe he takes it to that next level at 120 instead of 90.
Well, I think you're underestimating the mental part. I think he brings that to it, too. And can
I guess my point is more unique, Calvin Johnson or Wes Welker?
More unique?
Yes. Like, there's only so many of them born, ever.
Oh, Calvin Johnson is, yeah, he's
okay.
He's
that's
out of this world.
Okay.
You know.
So more unique, Tom Brady or Wes Welker? More unique, Rob Gronkowski? I just think that he is not as unique as those other great players.
You're talking about the pantheon of the NFL right now, you know?
But that's where Welker is on the, you know, either in or not in based on his stats and his career.
But then there's a level right below that I think Welker's in. Top producers at their position, you know, for whatever reason. And he's there. He's right there.
So using my own lingo, it sounds like you're deeming him a guy who catches 100 balls rather than a 100-catch guy. You, like, my sack lingo. I think there are great pass rushers. Then there are other guys who, yeah, they get a lot of sacks, but I don't think they're great.
I just think there's a lot of guys with good hands, a lot of guys who are quick, a lot of guys, you know, name all the things, but they don't do what Welker does.
Because they're not with Tom Brady in this offense.
Well, that
that's
could
also
be.
An aspect.
That could be, but, you know,
that's
still.
Why I went to Troy Brown. I think Troy Brown could have been greatly productive in the role Wes Welker has been
yeah.
in,
no,
probably better.
I think you're right, because, again, he was smart.
Smart,
you could take
quick,
advantage of it.
Tough, made tough catches, good hands. Brady yeah. liked him. So I think had you put him in with Brady and Moss and this offense that has evolved over the last 5 years, I think Troy Brown could have been great.
Yeah. Earlier in the show, you had mentioned something about, you know, we talked about his age as having a big deterrent as to why the Patriots probably are not so quick to hand him. And then you said something, if he was 27, he'd be making 80-something million, and you guys both said, not here.
Oh, he said that. I didn't.
I thought you agreed. Did you not?
I didn't want to get into a big argument.
Do you agree?
No, I think, well, I think he'd be, with the Patriots, he'd be offered a lot more at 27 than they're offering him now.
Well, yeah.
I don't know the number.
No, but would they make him the highest paid player or really close
like
to the
Like, if he was 27, would they give him a Calvin Johnson contract?
No.
Okay.
No.
Do you think he'd get a Calvin Johnson contract from anybody?
No.
I think that answers the question.
Yeah.
I agree with
you. I'm not arguing.
I think there's a difference between the most productive and the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that there are other guys. I'm not dismissing with what Wes Welker does. I've admitted long ago that he is more than I thought he was in 07. Okay, so let's not bring this back. Oh, Paul's hating on Welker again. I'm not.
No, he wants to pay him $50 million.
Shut up. But I don't think that he is the only guy that could do that. I don't. And I think that there are other guys that make more plays, just catch fewer passes. I think there's a difference.
Yeah.
I think there's a difference, and you always make fun of me. I've never been overly infatuated with the whole idea of the receptions. To me, it's the yards and the plays. Now, earlier in the year, he was making when I made that comment about $50 million, he was getting a lot of yards after, you know, not yards after catch, yards at catch, as you know, someone
right.
in the Patriots organization
right.
instructed Andy and I on, and he caught more touchdowns too this year. Well, I think he had a career. Did he have 9? It was a career high or something like that.
I believe it was a career high. I don't know the number.
So
9 touchdowns.
So I think that when you start getting that average up to 15 a catch as opposed to closer to 10, which is where he's pretty much resided, is like between 10 and 12, somewhere in that area. I think you can be more productive than that. I'd rather see him catch 80 balls for averaging 15 a catch than 120 balls for 10 yards a catch.
But that's also not his role.
Absolutely not
his
role. So
that's part of,
but I think
that goes both ways. He catches a lot of balls because of his role. He's not going to have a high average because of his role. It's hard to have a high average when you catch the ball at or near the line of scrimmage.
And that's not, that's what I'm saying. I don't mean this to be in any way a criticism of him. He does what he does as well as anybody. Probably better than anybody.
I would agree with that.
Interesting note on Welker. Apparently he told the Boston Herald that contract talks with the Patriots have, quote, gotten worse than the offer he got at the end of the season.
When was this?
Today.
Oh, just today?
Hashtag shouldn't have made the leap of faith.
Yes. Hashtag I'm a moron.
Sam, yeah, we'll see. I mean,
kind of flies in the face of my theory, Fred. I thought for sure, like, in the next 3 weeks, there'd be a deal.
I thought there was a chance that you could see something quickly.
Fred didn't.
I thought there was a chance because I actually thought that he was caving and was going to take less. I didn't think the Patriots would come up.
Oh, I thought they would. I thought they were going to come to the
contract. I thought there was a chance that he was going to end up.
I expected the whole time. Right around $30 million for, you know, it's a little less if it was 3 years, a little more if it was four, whatever.
Sam in Chicago writes in, thanks for the show and the impromptu product review. I haven't trimmed for some time after I clipped a sensitive piece of skin while doing some upkeep.
My God!
Now I leave it alone, and the nest is back for the egg. Sorry,
I didn't
about
know
that.
So many people man groomed.
So last preseason,
it was just porn stars and strippers.
Roethlisberger's is pretty bad. He's gonna. Oh yeah.
Well, you do know that I'm also Jake Steele, right? Yes. So last preseason, the anticipation for another, we're going 19-0 with the addition of Ocho and Haynesworth. This preseason seems to have the same fevered pitch that we will finish the undefeated business we left behind in 07 because of the stacked receivers, the young first-round picks, and ease of schedule. Aren't all first-round picks pretty young?
No.
Except for Whedon.
Blah, blah, blah.
Whedon. Yeah. I'm saying just that after reading all the fan comments on the blogs and other sites, I know, Paul, fans are dumb. Is the just undefeated hope for this season A, the regular optimistic chatter of preseason forecasting in New England? B, known quantities joining an already formidable team.
Seriously.
No, that wasn't me. Already formidable team, McDaniels, DeBar, the best third option tight end. C,
catch it on.
Like that one? C, Steve Belichick and Devon Wilson. Or D, an expectation that the defense will be better, so that will push the Patriots over the hump. A, B, C, or D?
I missed the question.
I think it's a combination of...
A.
You think it's A? It's just regular...
Yeah, but I don't think it's blind. I think it's warranted. I wasn't saying it was like being like misguided. I think that the Patriots are good. People around here know they're good, and they expect to be good.
I just think it's they got to the Super Bowl last year. They didn't lose any big pieces, and it seems that they've added to it. That's why.
Sure.
Well, lost a couple big pieces, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think that...
Well, you're talking about Mark Anderson?
And Carter. He's not back, so we can't say he's back already. He might be back, and he might be back halfway through the year. Who knows what he's going to be? But you lost 20 sacks, and I actually... The Carter one. I think there's zero chance that you have somebody as good as Andre Carter. Even if Chandler Jones has a, like, really good rookie year, I don't think you're going to get three downs, play the run, play the pass, everything that you got out of Andre Carter.
Yeah, I think he... And just don't get tired.
Right.
You know, just in incredible shape. Yeah. Kat is in Chicago. Hey, Kat.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, good. How are you doing?
Good. I heard the comment earlier that...
Fred takes care of his, hair down there.
Yeah. That's manscaping, guys.
Now, manscaping,
yeah.
Right.
Yes, now, absolutely. Since you're on the line, is that... do women like that?
I think it depends on the woman, but, it's not really my thing, so...
Because don't you think, why is he doing that? Is he, like, a freak? Is he a porn star? You know?
No, not really. I mean, I just don't think it's necessary. Like, I don't know. It's there that... If you're a man, I just kind of feel like that area shouldn't be too pretty. You know what I mean? Like, if you're not supposed to be, like, dressing it up and putting makeup on it. It's, you know, just leave it the way it is. It should be... rustic.
So I should take out my piercings?
Yeah, take out the piercings too.
Okay. Is bedazzled?
Right.
Yeah. Actually, they have, you know that they have those for women?
Yes, Jennifer. Oh, yeah.
Bedazzle.
Yeah, Jennifer Love Hewitt's big into it.
Oh, I had no idea. Yeah, that's also a little odd to me, but.
Well, forget it. I was probably going to ask you something too personal, so let's get back to football.
I was calling because of the comment earlier that I think Paul made about disco, fantastic, 80s, horrible music. You realize that's not normal, right?
Oh, absolutely, Kat, yes.
Okay.
I do. And you know what was weird is, most of the people of my age when we were growing up, almost all of the people I knew were like, you know, they loved the rock, hard rock and...
Heavy metal.
Yeah, stuff like that. And my... I don't know why. We just, there was like two or three of us that we just kind of like dance music. And that's always been the way. I don't know. And I'm telling you right now.
Couple guys, and a couple other guys.
None of them were gay.
Right.
But, Kat, I'm well aware of the fact that that's not normal.
They now sit around and watch 300.
I love disco.
The way you said it sounds so factual, and I'm like, wait a second.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
He's got a look in his eyes.
Really
his eyes are twinkling.
Because I'm not.
Because he's thinking back now to better times.
No, because I'm telling you.
His glory days.
Because I think that sometimes when we have these, say these ridiculous things, I think some people think that we do it for effect for the show.
Right.
And I'm trying to convey the fact that I am being
serious. I believe you. I've always known that about you.
I know it's going to make me look bad. I know people are going to think it's embarrassing, but it's true. What do you want me to tell you?
Okay.
I loved Donna Summer. I absolutely loved Donna Summer.
Donna Summer was very talented. Very talented.
Yep.
So,
all right, Kat. Earth, Wind, and Fire is like my favorite group of all time.
And luckily, he plays every Patriots Super Bowl party, so Paul gets to see him every
but
time.
But unfortunately, after both of the losses, and I couldn't really enjoy it.
I wouldn't say that they're disco, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Although they did play some discos, like the Bee Gees. Went into disco, but they weren't.
Oh,
I would consider them funk. Earth, Wind,
Fire. Yeah, Earth, Wind, and Fire is probably. You're right. It's probably not pure disco because they were more like R&B and like
Ohio
you know, like
Players.
You said, funk.
Remember Ohio Players?
Backstabber.
Okay.
I don't know if I'd consider them funk. I mean, I'd consider George Clinton funk.
Parliament, nice.
Parliament,
love
it.
See, this is what I like.
Roller coaster of love.
Here's where I get yelled at for
what else
that
you
was
like,
a Red
Cat?
Hot Chili Peppers song.
See, that's where my friends would be like, "Oh man, you're so lame." You know, let's beat our head into the ground and listen to this. That's you were in the majority, Andy.
I usually am.
What else did you like, Kat?
For music needs?
Yeah.
No, shaved testicles.
Yeah, no, I don't like that.
Okay.
Did you like Chicago? Being from Chicago?
Yeah, I'm not from Chicago. I'm actually from New England.
Oh, okay.
So. Originally.
Early Chicago was phenomenal, by the way.
Yeah.
But 25 like and 624?
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Kat, how old
are
you?
The album with the wood paneling.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm 30.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Well, I just wanted to compare you to Paul.
She's like, very young to be knowing all, George Clinton and all that. That's
way ahead of your time. I like blues. I like blues and R&B, kind of like the older R&B, you know, the early stuff that I like.
The Commodores?
Yeah.
Jodeci? Yeah.
The Commodores.
No.
Yeah, the Commodores.
Nice. I like
fantastic.
I like a lot of like kind of just older stuff. Like I love the Temptations, and I love any of that early like
Motown
kind of,
stuff. Yeah.
I like Motown.
Motown's great. So, and that's good. You know, if you live in Chicago, you kind of have to. So, but I like a lot of rock too, classic rock and 80s rock and stuff like that too. So.
Yep.
I was going to say, you guys, for an interview, I was going to ask if you guys could get Sebastian Vollmer, if you thought that was possible. Cause
yeah, we can probably get him.
I love the accent.
Yeah.
We'll work on it.
Yeah.
Even though I am a little bit upset with him because I tried to get him to sign my – I have a Vollmer jersey. I'm probably the only person in the whole country. And I tried to get him to sign it at the Chicago game.
Yeah.
The snow game, that was awesome.
Yep.
And I couldn't get him. I couldn't get his attention, even though the guys next to me were screaming at him. But so I'm a little mad at him. But
all right, Kat. Hey, thanks for calling in. We got to cut you off now, Kat, though, because Markel Carter has just come in the studio.
Oh, excellent.
Say just
thanks,
quickly
guys.
Say hello to Markel.
Hi, Markel. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Kat?
All right.
That's Kat in Chicago.
Thanks, Kat. And welcome, Markel.
Thank you.
Thanks for stopping in. How things going?
I mean, everything good. Everything good. Just finished working out and meeting, so.
Yeah.
So you're up to like 278?
Yeah, have you gotten any bigger since Saturday?
I'm like 75. You know, I'm still the same. Still the same.
Still the same, though, but you have gotten bigger since your college days.
Yes, sir. The combine, I was, 255, and then coming up here last year, I was up to 260, and then after the Super Bowl, I was like at 265, and I'm at 275 now. But I mean, once camp starts, you know, we start running around and stuff like that, and our training switches, I'll probably drop down to 68, 65.
Okay.
That range.
Do you know where your ceiling is, or have an idea? Or do you think you're at your heaviest right now?
To be able to move and to be able to do the things that my position calls for, I feel like, you know, that 75 would probably be the max. Okay. But I mean, in college, though, I got up to 280, but I mean, I was playing three techs, so that's a little different.
Right.
But I think for right now, the things that coach is asking me to do now, 75 would definitely be the max.
How comfortable are you in some of those things that I assume you're kind of in that tweener group, some outside linebacker, some DN? How comfortable are you with everything that comes with that, whether it be pass rushing, setting the edge, dropping a little bit?
Well, I mean, coming into the draft last year, I kind of knew that was going to be my role, and so I worked on it a lot. So, I mean, I still have that foundation of the drops and those sort of things. So with the added weight, of course, I mean, it's not the same speed, but, I mean, the speed is still there, and it's still there at that NFL elite level.
What are your expectations for yourself this year? Last year, the Patriots basically redshirted you.
Mm-hmm.
You were on the practice squad, and you got to watch Andre Carter come in, Mark Anderson come in, having never been here, and provide, I think, arguably a better pass rush than the Patriots had in the past. Now they're both gone. I mean, Andre's not gone for good. He could come back, but Mark Anderson's gone.
Yeah.
There's a hole there to be filled.
For sure.
How do you look at that?
Well, I mean, me personally, whenever you start trying to compare yourself to other players, like, you lose focus on the things that are important, the things that you can handle every day on a daily basis. So, I mean, I'm not really trying to compare myself or trying to fill a void, I guess you would say. All I'm trying to do is come in today and get better. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or anything like that. So all I can do is come in every day, and hopefully the hard work that I put in the weight room and on the field will show on Sundays.
No pressure, but I know you said you don't want to compare yourself to other people. But when you were drafted last year, I talked to Coach Augustine, and he mentioned OCU Mignora in the same sentence as you. What do you think of that, about being compared to OCU Mignora?
Well, I mean, that's Coach Augustine's opinion, and I mean, he was a great coach for me in my collegiate career. I owe a lot of the things that I'm able to do now to him. But like I said, man, we all have different things that we're good at, and we all have different things that we need to work at. So all I can do is just come in and work on the things that I need to do to get better. And hopefully one day I could be that elite defensive end just like him.
You know, Markell, I know that you want to put this behind you because you're looking forward to a new season. But a lot of our listeners occasionally ask us what life is like on the practice squad. Mm-hmm. And you got a chance to spend the whole season there last year, which not a lot of guys around here do. I mean, you saw it last year. There's a lot of guys coming and going. You stayed for the whole year. What is it like? What's the whole process like?
The one thing Bill kept beating into our heads, the practice squad players, is that you want to prepare like you're going to play on Sundays. Because, I mean, the worst thing you can do is not be prepared for whenever your number is called. So, I mean, you go through the daily operations. I mean, it's meetings, it's practice, it's film study. And, I mean, we still do our extra film study on our own just because we're professionals and they expect us to be ready. So, I mean, it's pretty much the same, except on Sundays we're not really out there. But, I mean, it's the same practice schedule. It's the same workout schedule. I mean, it's the same thing.
How often as a practice squad player do you get up to, you know, do you get to go against, you know, a Matt Light or something like that? How often did you get to test yourself against the Patriots?
Well, I mean, that was our job of the practice squad, to get the guys ready. So, I mean, I'm going up against Matt Light and Sebastian, well, he went there last year, but Nate and those guys every rep. So, I mean, I'm able to see just from day one how much I've gotten better to the end of the season just because of the competition that I'm going up against every day.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it's practice, but these guys are some of the best at what they do. So going up against Matt Light every day obviously would help me in my career.
Who did you get to play last year that maybe you took something from in terms of, you know, an opponent?
Well, my job, like you said, was the whole tweener thing. So, I mean, I did a lot of DeMarcus Ware, a lot of Tuck. Who else? Just those 3-4 outside linebackers, those defensive ends kind of thing. So, I mean, really, just watching how they operate tackles and how they set up tackles and how a rush at the beginning of the game might be something to set up a tackle towards the end of the game. So, basically, just how the game within the game was pretty much what I picked up from those guys.
When you were in those roles, and one of the questions we had, and I think everybody had, is coming from a lower level of football in college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how long was it going to take before you could compete at an NFL level? Could you compete at an NFL level? Going against Matt Light and being next to Andre Carter and some of these guys, did you realize last year, I can compete at this level? I'm good enough to compete here.
Well, I mean, being a man and being such the competitor that I am, I'm never going to say that I can't compete at some level. I'm never going to say I can't do something. But obviously coming here, I seen there was a lot of stuff that I needed to work on to where I could actually compete at that level and feel comfortable with myself and feel like I'm putting out my best foot. So after I put in enough work and was on the practice squad for a while and I got the whole swing of things, the whole operations of the practice tempo and just things like that, I could see it a lot. Like, I mean, I seen my skills improving on a daily basis, and I seen the leaps and bounds that I was gaining on my game.
So are you going to be rocking the four-point stance this year?
That's something that I've done since I was like in high school. So, yeah, most likely. Most likely.
Okay. Because you don't see too many guys doing that.
No.
Yeah, that's
a little old school.
A little bit.
You would like it, Andy. You're an old school guy.
I love old school football. Are you a suck-up or are you a real Red Sox fan? You got a Red Sox
I'm rocking a hat because I've never seen one of the great ones. So that's honestly the only reason why I got it.
So it's a fashion thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
It doesn't hurt, though, if fans see it, they think you're a Red Sox fan.
I mean, hey, if that's what they want to go with.
You mentioned last week I talked to you at camp that your sister was moving up.
She's doing the whole back and forth thing. Yep. I'm looking up some facts right now about it. But she just enrolled in Wright College in Tulsa.
Okay.
We moved her into an apartment last week, so she's able to move on her own now. So she's getting back to where she was 2 years ago before the whole lupus came down.
I was going to say, we should let everybody know, your sister was diagnosed with lupus.
Yeah.
She's a year younger than you.
Yeah, she's 21.
She's 21, and you had talked about her spending some time up here maybe would open up, you know, some specialists that aren't available back in Oklahoma.
Yeah, that was the whole key in why she's getting so much better. Whenever I left, like, she was having to use a wheelchair, she's having to use a walker and things of that sort. But now that I'm up here, she has her own lupus doctor up here, her own kidney doctor, and her own dermatologist up here. So, I mean, just the whole team that she has is a lot better than what it was back home, just because lupus is such an exotic disease. It's not really well known back in Oklahoma, so just the specialists weren't really how they are up here. So she's getting better doctors, she's getting better treatments and better medication, and it's obviously paying off for her.
And that must be a weight off your mind, you know, like, you know, that helps you a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, because being the big brother, man, I'm always worried about my two little sisters, and just having the peace of mind to know that she's doing better and things are really turning around for her, that helps me
come
to work. Really.
Talk a little bit about, I know you mentioned it last week, and just how much you've learned from her and kind of the inspiration that she's been to you. Mm-hmm. I know you said lupus probably would have been the end of you.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a crippling disease. I mean, really, people don't realize how crippling it is. It kills more women than breast cancer. With African Americans, it's, what, 2 out of 3 people? So, I mean, there's a lot of stats that people don't really know about disease because, like I said, it's so exotic. So just from that, how it attacks your body, just seeing her and just seeing how active she was before, like, I mean, she was a big basketball player, softball, and then just seeing how disabled she was after, and then just seeing how she handled it all. Like I said in my previous interviews, that she just took everything with a smile, she stayed in her faith, and she stayed positive. And, I mean, that helped me out, that helped my mom out, that helped the whole family, because, I mean, if she's happy and she's fighting, I mean, that's going to make us fight harder too.
Okay, so back to you and football. If I were going to make a bet this year, how many sacks you're going to have?
Oh, man.
What should I set the number at? 4, man, 6? Man. We shooting high here, maybe 8?
18.
18. Yeah, Osu Umanyora. Where should I set? What's the over-under on that number? 5? Is that a fair number?
I mean, if you're a betting man, I would say that.
5, and I'll take the over? I got faith in you. You know, that 25 pounds is
going to
pay off.
I'm not a betting man, so I really don't. We start talking about wages and things like that, I kind of start to shy away a little
good,
bit.
Good, but keep it that way.
Yeah, the league doesn't really
As we're looking at the Saints up there. We'll stay away from that.
Just collect your paycheck and nothing else. Other than that, leave money to.
I'm totally fine.
Markel, what else are you into besides football? You know, and taking care of your sister. Uh-huh. What else are you into?
Well, man, I'm a big MMA fan. I love watching Miss Martial Arts. I'm a big video gamer. But being up here, you really don't have a lot of time. I mean, you get home at around 7 on our normal work day. So, I mean, after that, you only have a couple hours left. So all you can do, you know, get on the video game a little bit. You might hang out with some of your
favorite
boys.
Favorite video game?
Right now, God of War 3 or Call of Duty, of course.
Xbox?
Yeah. No, PS3.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Switch that,
ooh, he just poo-pooed you. No.
Yeah, really?
Okay. the Blu-ray player. So, like, I'm a big movie guy, too, so.
John Bones Jones, you heard of him?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Of course. That's my man Chandler's.
I know, you just got scoffed at twice in the span of 10 seconds.
I don't mind. I don't mind.
My bad, dude.
That's okay.
So you're already talking to Chandler. Can you get me to a fight? Get me good tickets up front?
Actually, you say that today. I was kind of thinking that during workout. So I'm this Ricky has to hook me up.
That's right.
Once or twice.
Know your role, Ricky. Like, get me tickets.
He's like doing bench. I'm going to get me some tickets from Chandler.
Because I believe he was. I think he was front row in, I think it was in Atlanta, the last fight. They
the
had,
Rashad
and he,
fight,
and
yeah.
he got front row tickets with his other brother. So you should just tag along, kind of join
just,
his group.
Just ride around, just hop in.
I'm sure he'd help you out
for sure.
Because you're the veteran, he's the rookie. He's supposed
plus,
to.
Plus, you're going
to
have 6 sacks or more this year. So
wow,
that's right.
I think it was 5.
Well, I took the over, so that's at least 6.
I mean,
5.5
and a half.
All right, well,
you'll
Markel,
be happy with that, right? If I win that bet and you have six sacks, you'll be
oh, of
okay.
course, of course.
If you do get it, you have to come back on the show.
Yeah, for
okay?
sure.
Okay.
Oh, sure.
You can come back anyway.
Right.
Yeah, I hope so.
But no, but you
I
have to.
Open,
if you get
open invitation.
Yeah. I hope it's open.
All right, Markel, thank you so much
thank
for stopping
you.
In. I know you're
no
busy.
Problem.
You got the rest of the day ahead of you, and I'm sure the Patriots keep you busy
for sure
this time of year. So good luck this season.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate your time.
Markel Carter on PFW in Progress. We'll be right back after this.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The NCAA Men's Lacrosse Championships return to Gillette Stadium this Memorial Day weekend. May 26th through the 28th, don't miss your chance to see the nation's best lacrosse at New England's premier sports venue. Tickets for all 3 days start at just $75 and are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. For group rates and other special incentives, please call 508-549-0178 for more information. 3 days, three championships, the ultimate lacrosse experience.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. To honor Fenway's 100th birthday, we're having a one-week ticket sale on Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. $19! Ace Ticket has your Boston Celtics playoff tickets on sale right now. Be there as the Celtics chase Banner 18. Treat yourself or someone special and take advantage of our free and easy pickup by the Garden in Fenway Park. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Transmission?
Root canal.
Central valve?
Towaway zone!
Obedience school! Set! Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
Life is full of unexpected expenses.
Study abroad?
An exterminator?
Sleepaway camp?
Engaged?
He fractured what?
Pay for your mother's flight?
Yeah, why? You got a problem with that?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Bank of America can help you be ready for them.
Guitar?
Piano?
Tuba lessons?
Twins?
Did what on the new carpet?
Let Bank of America help you build a buffer. Regularly set aside money with automatic transfers from checking to savings. You choose how much money to move and how often.
She made nationals. Great. Where are nationals? Oh.
Automatic transfers to savings. One of the many ways Bank of America can help you stay on budget. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/solutions.
Honey, look, I bought a new vase.
Oops. Nice.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010, Bank of America Corporation.
PFW in Progress presents Car Shopping with Fred Kirsch.
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback, okay? The woman across the street comes over and says, oh, you have a Subaru Outback. That's a lesbian car. And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you?
Never question the boss when it comes to cars.
Did you say that?
Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is, who cares?
If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No.
Have a hang-up.
Nobody will ever tell Fred Kirsch or his wife what to drive. Now back to PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Thank you to Markel Carter for coming in and sharing some time with us today. Nice guy. Another guy I hope makes the team.
Yeah, we got about 90 guys making the team.
Right. Yeah, you think we could talk to Goodell and see if maybe we can have a special 80-man roster for the season.
Have a nice guy exemption.
Nice guy exemption.
Great minds think alike there.
Is that the first agreement? Nice guys I know.
The first agreement I think they've ever had.
That's my
certainly today.
We've
been at each other's throats all day.
Okay, I have a question I didn't want to ask on air. What exactly is lupus?
It is actually, it attacks the immune system, and it can... It's really bad. It can affect your organs, like your liver, kidney.
So is it in like the ALS and Parkinson's?
Yeah,
and
it's all that immune
family
thing. And what he said, 2 out of 3 African-Americans. Actually, African-Americans have 2 to 3 times greater chance of getting it. About 1.5 million people in America have it. I know. I looked it up before.
I figured. I knew you didn't know all this off the top of your head.
No, I didn't.
Well, I thought maybe he had some history.
I did a little research, before he came, just so I kind of knew.
You're going to get into 4-point stance?
Yeah, I didn't know what lupus was either. I mean, I'd heard of it, but I didn't know exactly what it was.
Who was the celebrity that was rumored to have had it a year or so ago, and Larry King asked if they had... Do you remember that?
Do you have lupus?
No, do you have lupus?
Detroit!
He was like, you have lupus? Remember, I forget who it was.
I don't know.
They always play the drop on the radio.
I just remember the George Costanza when he's in the hospital and he doesn't know what's wrong with him, and he's like, is it lupus?
Yeah, well, you really went bald there, didn't you?
Just joke about diseases.
No, I'm just, fine. I'm just showing
you shut
my
up.
Exposure
no,
to
No, you're
it.
Showing that you like to show that wasn't funny.
At least I went and did a little research before he got here. All right?
I didn't have to. I knew it all.
You didn't know anything, and you still don't know anything. Brooklyn Matt says, man, I got to give mad props to Paul. When ignorantly asked by Andy what Donna Summer's saying, Paul busted off 5. Count them, 5. Donna Summer hits right off the top of his head. That's impressive, home slice. Some further information is that she was signed by Casablanca Records, a huge label of the 70s run by Neil Bogart, who also had both Kiss and Parliament Funkadelic in the roster. Andy, do you live under a rock or something? I mean, I know it's before 1990, the cutting off line of your worldly knowledge, but come on now. Perillo just schooled you. What did he say?
I live under your mom.
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
That might be the most you've ever made me laugh with one of those.
The Parliament thing, like
George Clinton,
and it's like just a cast of whoever's there that day.
Atomic Dog.
But isn't it like a million people in it? Don't they perform? And there's like all these people everywhere.
I don't pretend
and...
to be an expert on the makeup.
Because I've seen them perform, and it's like there's just. It's like not even half of them aren't even doing anything. They're just on stage to be on stage. Like, I find that whole weird.
The Funkadelics?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's all right.
They're all on coke, right?
Well, I would imagine they're on something.
Back then? Did I ever tell you? No,
I mean now.
Did I ever tell you my story about Studio 54 in New York?
No, and I actually want to hear
no,
this.
No, please
one.
Tell me.
You want to, I really want to hear it?
Yeah.
Better
because
involve
this is actually
drugs or sex?
Because believe it or not, this is actually one you've never told us.
Okay, well, I
Does
was.
Does it involve drugs or sex?
No.
Well,
how do you go to Studio 54? Not no, I was
sex or drugs.
Danny V has a Studio 54 story. It didn't involve drugs.
I was
sex.
Going. Well, to, I was going to school.
I don't know about drugs, but I don't think it involves sex.
I was going to school at the University of Tampa, going out with a girl from Long Island, and instead of going home for Thanksgiving, I went to her house. And her father was big in the fashion industry, and they were looking for places to throw a Sweet 16 party for her younger sister, and one of them was Studio 54. And so that night we were on the guest list, and we went into Studio 54. And they had like a beauty pageant that night going on in addition to all the dancing and everything. I mean, you're talking about a sophomore in college whose mind was being blown.
The too only bad, thing, too bad it was your
the
mind.
The only thing I could think of was, I got to get away from this family now.
because I wanted to go off and do my own thing, you know. But it was pretty amazing. It's everything that you thought of. You go upstairs and they have these couches and people are just
going at it.
Yeah.
Was the girl hot?
She was not my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was nice. Yeah.
But you lost interest in her when you got.
Well,
the
I just wanted.
She had a great personality.
It was just like, oh my god, I gotta go
and
check this out. I did. I went to the bathroom and
ditched something
for a while.
Boyfriend must have diarrhea. He's been in there for like an hour and a half.
Yeah, Studio 54 wouldn't have been my thing.
No?
Too much drugs.
Well, most of the people were just dancing. I mean, they weren't.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That's what the movies the and stuff made it sound like.
But you don't have to do that.
Yeah, but that's what goes on there.
Yeah.
That was all drugs.
So where in the 80s when you went out that they weren't doing drugs?
That's
what did
true.
You go
that's
to like?
No, that's a good no. That's a good point. Fair point by you.
Yeah, I mean.
Circle gets a square.
Cody in NS. I guess it's Nova Scotia. I don't know. Could be North Saratoga. I'm not sure. Hey, guys, just wondering what you thought of Brian Waters as arguably the best guard in football last year. I heard plenty of former players saying how he was one of the best they had ever played against. Thanks a lot, guys, and let's get some arguments going.
Have you not listened to Andy and Fred the first, 45 right. minutes of the show?
Waters had a very good year.
Terrific.
Better than Mankins last year. So using that barometer, you could argue he's the best. And I think he was better than he was given credit for the last couple of years because he was in Kansas City and not here. I think had he been here.
Yeah, I mean, his career is probably considered better than Mankins, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. Because
of longevity.
Endless Pro Bowl, seven Pro Bowls or something. But I think just in terms of, like, name recognition, had he been with Brady and this offense, he would have had – he went to the Pro Bowl 2010, the year before he came here.
Yeah.
But I think he would have been more known. You know, the.
I agree with you. And all that said, the thing I was most impressed about, I think Andy agrees, is just how professional he is and how – you know, you use these little terms and, you know, you overuse them, but, like, how much he gets it. Like, this is a guy who just came into New England first year, and it was like immediately he understood, you know, the importance of all the things that Belichick has sort of pounded home for 10, 12 years now about practice and preparation and all this stuff. And just to hear him talk after games, you know, I remember the games late in the year, the two sloppy starts, you know, the 17-0 and the 21-0 deficits they built, and he just flat out said, no, if we do this, we will lose. Well, sure enough, they fell behind 9-0 in the Super Bowl, and they lost. I think he recognized how important, you know, everything was, not just the result.
Professional.
He was. He was really professional, and hopefully he's not going to retire. And I know that's still kind of up in the air. I know I've been out of the loop a little bit.
I don't know. It's up in the air, except that the Globe has been adamant that he's returning.
He's coming back.
So I don't know.
Dylan from Jersey says, with Welker just signing his tender, is it possible that he could be traded for the likes of Golston from the Niners or Jared Allen of the Vikings along with a second-round pick? Then slide Edelman into the slot. That saves money to sign Allen or Golston to a good deal and maybe room to extend Gronk's deal.
Yes, you can be traded.
But if I was the Vikings, I wouldn't give up at Jared Allen and a second for Welker. I'd do maybe straight up.
If I were the Patriots, I don't think I would take Goldson for him.
No. I think he's overrated. Overrated.
I mean, I know he had. I mean, he became a high-profile guy last year because we were interested in signing him, and he re-signed with San Francisco, and he had a good year with San Francisco, and San Francisco was great.
Right.
So I think he all of a sudden is sort of elevated around here as a player a player that he's not. I think he's a serviceable player, but I don't think he's like an all pro or anything.
And
did he get postseason accolades?
I think he was a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, I mean, not an all pro.
I don't know for sure.
And I wouldn't give Welker for him.
But
tell you that.
And I don't think the Vikings would trade for Welker. Why would you trade him for Welker? Welker were 5 years younger, you know, I don't know that makes any sense for them at all.
Yeah, the value of those outside pass rushers, they're just so
tremendous.
High these days.
Plus, they have a guy in Harvin that,
you know, when he's healthy. And
no, I know. I mean, that's Fred's point about, you know, the mental toughness that Welker has. But Harvin's problem is really the migraines, more so than anything.
Remember, we looked it up. He's been relatively healthy. He's not as injured as
that's
I thought.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, when he misses time, it's migraine related.
He's missed like no time. He's like the last few years, it's been like 15 games?
Yeah, he
games
had a game where he was out of practice that week, and right. I thought, and he did actually play.
So you, in your mind, you actually think that's been a bigger deal than, well, at least in terms of being on the field, than it has.
Yeah,
been.
He's figured it out.
He had a very good year last year.
Yep.
With
Ramon from
nobody around him.
Right.
Ramon from Dallas says, great show. Hope I hear more of those Veet reviews. can any of you recall a person, tight end, wide receiver, who has never dropped a ball that hit his hand, body, for an extended period of time, like, say, 6 to 8 game stretch or 140 targets, assuming it was a reasonable amount of passes, similar to when a QB completes 37 straight passes? Is there such a person, would you say, that makes him a great player? So,
I don't know what the no. I mean, I don't know of a guy.
A guy who
I'm sure that there's
had some type of record targets, you know, and catches.
I'm not big on the subjective things like what's a drop and what's not. I'm not really big on that. You know, like I mean, if you were charting the play in the Super Bowl, the Welker play, how are you charting it?
Bad throw.
Hit or error?
Is it a drop?
Is it a hit or an error?
Bad throw.
You know, would that break this guy's streak?
Right.
I never bought it because sometimes you see. Like guys that I think stink, and didn't Welker supposedly lead the NFL with 11 drops two years ago?
Yeah.
Well, I've seen a lot of other guys that drop a lot more passes. I don't know what the rules are.
I don't know. I'm going to take Dallas Clark for 100, please,
Jack.
Yeah.
So, I'm with those dropped passes, not dropped passes. We do it even in the paper, but it's also
it's when you drop them.
And it's subjective.
No,
too.
But it's Eric deciding was it a drop, an overthrow, or an underthrow?
You know, Andy and I look at each other about halfway through every game and we say, we should have been keeping track of this because we don't, you know, you never know who thinks, you know, a play is underthrown, overthrown.
Who was the guy? I think it was last training camp that, I mean, the balls were like going right through his hands.
Fred Taylor.
Hitting him
Chad
in the
Ochocinco.
Chest.
Chad Ochocinco.
Wasn't even slowing them down.
Yeah.
It became.
Well, that's Dallas
laughable.
Clark to me.
Yeah.
For a great player, I've never seen the ball go through a guy's hands. I mean, off a guy's hands is one thing, but through the hands. Like you said, it barely even slows down.
Yeah, there's one in whatever the three games to glory is that's on the screen right outside the elevator. I came in the other day, and Manning throws him a pass, and he has the triangle, and you have a great camera angle, and the ball just right through his hands, literally splits the triangle.
These things happen to all pros.
Mike and Charlotte, I think Welker is the best slot receiver in the game, not the best receiver. Calvin Johnson is the best receiver in the game. But as Andy said, his role is much different than Welker's. Welker is not going to stretch the field, nor is he asked to stretch the field. I think Welker's value to the Patriots is somewhat diminished by the presence of the tight ends in the short passing game. But he should still be paid in the range of $6 to $7 million a year because of his production and reliability.
Sure.
If that was the case,
the Patriots would take that.
Yeah, that's.
Patriots will sign for like 6 years at $6 million.
Yeah.
Aaron in Sterling, Virginia. Fred, great show today. Thank you very much. We needed.
Just Fred, by the way.
We needed this type of show to remind us of one thing. Andy is a colossal D-bag. He plays nice.
Absolutely.
Well, nice for Andy for
when
a few weeks.
When do I play nice?
And then he comes out and takes a poop in the Patriots punch bowl.
How did I do that?
Nobody could make an argument that Wes is the best at his position. So leading the league in catches and yard after catch over the last 4 years, during which he made a superhuman bounce back from an ACL injury, doesn't count for anything? Okay.
Who
right.
Said that?
Got it. But it's okay to come up with a hypothetical stat that Calvin Johnson might have if he ever lined up in the slot, which he could, by the way, just as Wes could line up on the outside, correct?
And they
fact
do.
Is
both
they
do.
Don't.
No. Fact is, both do.
Fact is, they don't, and Wes has more catches and yards after catch. Calvin has more touchdowns and total yards, I'm assuming.
So you would take Wes Welker over Calvin Johnson, whoever this clown is.
I'm not saying Wes is better.
Oh, then what are you saying, you idiot?
But it can be argued.
No, it can't, because you sounded like an idiot homer when you tried.
Well, that's
People
the thing. Everybody thinks, you know, Calvin Johnson's the best, but they all say it can be argued, but no one's willing to take that stand.
I don't even think you can argue that he's better than Larry Fitzgerald or Andre Johnson. I think they're all better.
And if winning the Super Bowl is so important, then why didn't you vote for the 19-0 over keeping Brady in the great debate? I thought the goal is to win Super Bowls, not just win a lot of games, you said today.
No.
Funny.
I just almost swore. The guy doesn't listen.
Let me finish.
He's one of these Fred Kirsch types who talks and doesn't listen. I never argued that winning the Super Bowl is the most important. I argued that competing and being the best I could
The other side of that argument was winning the Super Bowl, and you use that against anyone who says, well, the Patriots are competitive, but they didn't win the Super Bowl.
Well, I
thought
the idea was to win the Super Bowl.
You do it all the time.
For them.
That's what you do all the time.
I argued from a fan perspective.
Now, that's what
that
you do
every
all
week
the time.
I want to know my team has a chance
Funny,
to win.
Because it's the exact opposite of what you said during
the
Great
Rift. No, actually it isn't.
You prefer the Pats to be relevant for another 5 years over winning a Super Bowl. Way to be consistent.
I am consistent with your mother.
Eric, good show today. I haven't disagreed with you once. Almost as good as Paul's show on Tuesday.
Oh.
Wow.
So this guy likes none of us. Who's this guy? What's his name?
Aaron.
Aaron's an a-hole.
I like him.
He's an a-hole.
Aaron, just for the record, I kept my mouth shut and let you have your piece. There was no need to take that
That's
really
the
unnecessary
guy
shot at me at
a
the
dink.
End.
A dink.
Kamani says, Fred, I'm impressed by your Studio 54 story. It sounds like you had some major league trim back in the day. Renting out Studio 54 was not cheap.
No. They just got in. Didn't you say
you were
they
on
just
the
got
list?
In?
You didn't.
Well, they were thinking of renting it out, so they were looking at venues.
Yeah, why didn't you stick with this girl if she was loaded? What
I'm
happened?
To think what happened there. I think she broke up with me.
She realized.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
I can do better than that.
You know what
happened? Hairy-chested, fat-shouldered.
After Fred ditched her for an hour and a half in Studio 54.
She actually transferred.
She actually went home with a different guy that night.
No, Fred forgot. They were supposed to meet the next week for another date, and Fred forgot about it.
I've done that before.
I don't doubt it.
She transferred to the University of Miami.
Tampa.
I mean,
and she was. And I remember her saying, I always thought we'd get back together, but we never did.
Where is she now?
I have no idea.
Look
do
up on
do you
Facebook.
Look at that as the one that got away?
No.
What's her name?
Natalie.
Natalie.
I don't want to say her last
Portman.
Name.
Portman.
I don't want to say her last name.
Why?
Because that's not
right.
Fair.
It's,
I agree with Fred. You never know.
In this day and age, everybody can find
strippers will have that tweeted out within seconds.
Although, I will
now
say,
searching, cross-referencing Miami with Tampa and the people who went there. And Natalie.
I will say that she lived in a town in Long Island where every driveway had a Cadillac.
And now we know she's from Long Island.
By you?
No, but just seen that way.
I've never been to Long Island.
You've never been to Long Island? No?
I don't believe I have either.
Never been to Studio 54 either.
By the way, guys, just a quick little note here. Markel Carter took to Twitter, said, shout out to PFW and Patriots.com. Had fun stopping by the show today.
Nice!
You guys are too fun.
Two nice. In a row. People
two
in a row. Dante Stallworth
we're
did
two,
that
we're
on,
two for
on
two.
Tuesday. Yep.
Telling you. I'm going to reply.
And
sacks.
I think, what's his Twitter feed be, so everyone can follow it?
Kel.
At Kel Carter 49. It's K-E-L-L underscore Carter underscore 49.
Okay, everybody follow
Markel.
Trying
to play on like Nell. Is that her name?
That would
Nell
be good.
So,
I would be good if people come on the show and as soon as they leave, they can see an immediate impact on their Twitter. That would be great.
Yeah, because he doesn't have a ton of followers as a practice squatter.
Yeah, I think he had about a little over 1,000 or something.
Like
maybe 3,000.
I like when Fred said he's struggling to get to 10,000. Struggling to get to 10,000.
I can't get to
10,000.
Like 1,500.
I can't get to 100,000 either.
Yeah. But that's the joke.
I can't even get to 200.
Fred can't, I mean, Eric can't have sex with a second girl. Or the first.
That's...
Right now you think he's flirting with
I'm
a
like
stewardess.
Ronald Reagan, well.
Flirting with the Air France stewardess. What are you doing when we land?
Oh, you know that he's on that plane acting like he does this all the time.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Oh,
pompous.
Being Mr. Suave.
With his, whatchamacallit, turned to the side.
Rico Suave on the plane.
what do they call it?
Beret.
Beret.
Yeah. Oh, you know that he's like.
Do you think he has the
Mr.
hotel
World
lobby
Traveler.
Walk on? You know the hotel lobby. Do you know that? I mean, Andy and I know exactly what the Eric hotel lobby walk
pompous
is.
Pompous ass walk.
When, you, do you know what I'm saying? You know when we all meet in the lobby when we go out?
Right,
you know, when
right,
we used to, when
right,
Andy
right,
and I traveled
right,
with you.
Right.
And
he's got the cock
it's,
of a walk.
All eyes are on me.
Right. He would
right,
come down and,
right,
like, he would. You know, you get off the elevator and you look and, okay, I see where they are. I'm going to walk. But he walks over like, this is exactly where I belong.
Right, right.
You know, I'm not out of place. These are the kinds of places, because we stay in nice hotels
yeah,
on the road.
For the most part.
Okay. No, but I mean.
Except for Buffalo, as Brady says.
Right.
Right. But for the most part, they're really nice hotels.
Pittsburgh.
But you know, Moses. Eric just acts like, you know, this is what I do every day.
Yeah.
You know, I'm used to getting off a charter flight.
Yeah. When I'm there, I'm the one looking around with, you know, starstruck. Eric's like expecting everyone to
oh,
be
yeah,
looking at
yes,
him.
Yes, he thinks
he has
be
that,
looking at him.
He has that gait.
He's expect.
Yeah.
He puts the gait.
He really,
gait.
Oh, he really on. Is yeah, just insufferable.
Yeah.
This is going to be how long's he gone?
Fred doesn't know. He asked where he was today.
I really don't know.
Well, today was the first. He didn't leave to go to France yet.
Oh.
I think that's tomorrow. We took today off to.
Prep.
You know how he is. You know.
He's probably sitting at the airport now.
He's probably got some Veet.
He probably had a freshen up.
Sure.
I don't know why. It's only going to be him. Be stubbly on his hand.
Anthony says, my name is
Massage
Anthony.
Massage of the grapes.
I'm a big follower in South Florida.
Anthony says, my name is Anthony.
I'm a big follower in South Florida. I also run Patriots 24/7 on Twitter.
I've seen him.
How do you run a Twitter? I run Medna. I don't know.
But I've seen him. I've gone back and forth with him.
I would like to know if you guys can give my Twitter a push in the show. I would be interested in calling in and talking about it. Let me know if we can do something. No, we're not going to talk about your Twitter.
Not until I get to 10,000, says Fred.
I only talk about Brooklyn Decker's
Twitter.
We just gave
your Twitter a push.
Patriots 24/7.
Patriots 24/7. Right. Check it out.
I guess it's a news feed.
He accused me of being negative like the crap sheet yesterday. Wow. And I said that was unfair. Don't ever call me the crap sheet again. He's like, you're right.
Wait a minute. He accuses the crap sheet of being negative?
No. Well, I don't know.
Wow.
What does he do on 20? It's just gathering news?
I think you can only tweet on Twitter.
No, I know. But what does he do? Does he gather other people's news, like a news aggregator? What does he do?
I don't know.
What do you?
He's like Ian.
He tweets. I don't know.
Is he in the media?
I don't think so.
Does he have a company?
I don't think so.
Okay. I just want to know.
I think he's just a tweeter.
Because if he starts making money, I'm going to shut him down for using the name Patriots.
And just so you know, he had that look on his face again, you know, when he tucks his chin down and raises his eyebrows up.
I got a spam today that I'm thinking of taking them up on the offer. They offered me $50,000 for my website, webradio@patriots.com.
Yeah, I got the same thing.
Is that okay if I accept that?
Yeah, go ahead. Give it a shot.
Now, Fred.
If you can get the money, I want 10%.
Now, Fred, do you think they would take $50,000 for Die Hard Dogs?
Oh, sure.
Right? You don't think that's the website they were talking about when they offered us that?
And then if I take that $50,000 and send it to that lady in Africa who said I just need to send her a down payment and she'll ship me all this gold.
Although if Mike Vick was
speaking of gold,
if Mike Vick was still in business, he might have bought that URL, Die Hard Dogs.
Way better than the Eiffel Tower.
Oh,
yes.
Come on. That was
way
a good one.
Better.
I was thinking of that all morning.
I know. It was terrible.
Well, Die Hard Dogs, you just came to you right off the top of your head.
Maybe
much
that
better.
Should be your rule. When you think about it a long time, it's not funny.
Eric asked the Eiffel Tower out to dinner. I think that's funny.
It's a big penis. I get it. It's not funny.
Neither is your mother.
Where have you been living under your mother?
You found that funny.
I thought that was hilarious.
Matt.
Wait a minute. I have a gold story.
Oh, okay. A what story?
A gold story.
Gold story.
Yes, my wife went to a gold party.
Why are we saying gold like that?
Well, because he seemed to be
confused.
I want to
make sure that there's a D
to what I'm saying.
Rather than a gold story or anything else.
Anyway.
Vernon Goldston.
You know,
Super Bowl ring?
No one really. Well, it's not gold.
She got a dollar for it.
No one really wears gold at all. And, you know, like.
Yeah,
you know,
it's all platinum and silver these days.
Freddie, you know.
Titanium.
You know, back in the day, you know, when I was at Studio 54.
Oh, you had the Italian horn.
A lot of gold chains,
Coke spoon,
right? No, I had this little gold ring that my college girlfriend had given me.
On your pinky?
Been sticking in my jewelry box ever since. I haven't really seen it. And kind of a smaller chain that I had. Got $310.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I should go hunting around.
For nothing.
I don't think
just
I have
stuff
any
that's
gold.
Been sitting in my jewelry box for like, I don't know, 20 years?
That's not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
Gold prices are high.
Wait a minute, though. Did you get the money or did your wife?
Well, it's a check for us. So, yeah.
So your wife.
It's going to end up paying for camp for the kids in the summer. Why camp?
Why not, camp?
Not bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, carry on.
Matt and Sandy.
He's like doing infomercials for gold. Got all that unwanted gold in your drawer?
Well, I guess they have these parties now with, you know, some person comes to your house and they check
right.
The you know, they just make sure it's real and they weigh it and it's whatever the per ounce is. I don't know, we got like 300, I think it was 308 we got,
and it's probably worth 900.
Well, obviously they're making money.
They're making big money. Yeah,
they're gonna,
but
reset.
It was worth nothing.
It's
to
worth
me.
Exactly. It's sitting in the drawer, you're never gonna wear it again.
And I don't think I have them. They're probably at my parents' house somewhere, but I have some really nice stuff that my grandmother brought back from Italy years and years ago, but I don't know. I haven't seen them for a long time. But
your grandmother,
I wouldn't the
jewelry.
No, Fred, my grandmother has passed.
Okay, sorry about that.
You know, thanks for opening that wound.
He actually killed her.
Oh, what an awful thing to say. Although I'm sure I contributed with my behavior, but anyway, I wouldn't sell that anyway, though, because that.
Yeah, I was going to say
that actually.
What's the oldest piece of jewelry? Do you have any heirlooms, Andy? You don't hear people talking about heirlooms anymore. People don't keep things anymore.
Right. I don't think I have.
Everything's disposable. You don't have any
heirloom jewelry?
Yeah, or heirlooms, like a painting or a piece of furniture.
I have a pocket watch from the 40s from my
grandpa.
What
do you have?
A pocket watch from the 40s from my grandpa.
That's nice.
Cool.
That's great.
That's cool.
I have a Rolex from my dad from the 50s, which
you know, I never wear. But
taking my pocket watch and throwing it down right there.
He's got a Rolex. He always has to one up you. He's that.
Oh, I didn't think it was one up that.
Oh, you got a. That's cute.
I'm
you
just saying. See, that's
actually,
what I have.
I mean, even though get yours, Walmart.
Everything else from my father, I sold at the pawn shops.
I actually think that the pocket watch is cool. I mean, the Rolex is probably nicer, but the pocket watch, you don't have pocket watch.
Now, do you have the thing that attaches and everything?
The fob.
Yeah, it has the chain and everything. I'm trying to get it
Eric.
To work again, but it's kind of expensive to get those things.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I have a, well, I don't have it yet. It's at my mom's house, but I've claimed it for the family purposes of passing down a sword. We have a great uncle who was a Queen of England guard, and
he was
his,
a queen.
No, it's a guard of the Queen
of
England.
He was being serious, so I let it go. But
and it's kind of cool. It's an old sword that it was
that
like
is
his,
cool. That's very
for
cool.
Parades and decorative purposes. He used it or something.
Cool.
I
have
checked
nothing.
It for blood.
You have nothing.
I have nothing.
Well, you have your jewelry from Italy that you lost.
Well, I didn't lose
haven't
it.
Haven't seen it in a while.
I'm sure my mother has it. That was a nice. It was a nice chain too.
I wouldn't sell that.
Will
the,
sold it on the
part.
Playground.
He got one of those candy necklaces.
Will traded it for a Beyblade. That's Beyblade.
I was thinking, first, a babe laid. He laid a babe.
Tyson.
That'd be interesting. Maybe next show our listeners.
Jackson not into Beyblades at all.
I know a lot of our listeners listen on the podcast. Give us what heirloom you have. Your favorite heirloom if you have one. I'd be interested to find that out.
I wouldn't.
What?
Send in pictures of any Patriots heirlooms.
This guy wants it all interactive. We'll Facebook, Twitter.
Yep. Matt in San Diego State University says, on Tuesday, Andy and Eric were talking about Eric's body weight exercise. Just wondering if any of you, let's be honest, just Andy, had ever used the TRX. It's an incredibly good workout. It requires no weights.
No. It's not that's not the thing at the gym that I don't know what it does. It's this big gray frame hanging from the wall, and it's got these yellow straps and all these. And I see a lot of people doing stuff on it, but I don't really know what I'm doing. And
yeah, I've seen that too. It's like gravity and body weight. I've seen that.
Yeah, and then they'll bring in like the Bosu balls and use some of that with it and all that.
Yeah.
I stick to my traditional. That's why strippers rips.
You were using the Smith machine? No wonder you got hurt. That's stupid.
I do what I've been doing for years. It's worked
this
far.
Still can't believe Donna Summer's gone, Freddie.
Yeah. It's been an eventful show.
Now, will this be a big deal? Is she big?
Oh, it won't be anything.
Not like Whitney Houston.
No, not like Whitney, because, I mean, Whitney, CNN went like 2 days straight.
That was ridiculous.
But will this be like, if I watched those E! Shows in like the 7
o'clock
hour?
It'll be a 24-hour thing.
Will they all be talking about her?
Yeah. She'll get a mention everywhere.
Yeah, those, the tabloid shows?
Yeah.
I would imagine they'd all mention it.
Yeah.
But I won't get anything at all like Whitney.
She's not as good.
And she's also not anywhere near as contemporary.
But you love her. And that's all that matters.
Yeah, she wasn't, Whitney, I mean, that was just an unbelievable talent. Plus, part of the story with Whitney was wasted talent, too.
Well, that's it.
Bobby Brown.
Getting hooked up with him and all that. But
a lot of people think that she was hooked up long before she met Bobby Brown.
Yeah, no, that's true, but he didn't help.
No.
He didn't help.
He's a mess.
He didn't help.
He didn't.
But that was, I mean, the common thing was, oh, look what Bobby Brown did to her. But as time has gone by,
she's.
Some people kind of think that
she
might
had an
gotten
addictive
him.
Personality.
Yeah.
They're doing a big thing with her on the Billboard Music Awards this week. I think her daughter is on, and I don't know, some big tribute to Whitney.
Yeah, I've had enough. Serge writes in, he's in Florida.
Serge.
Before anyone uses a French accent, I'm actually Ukrainian. But anyway, I got a
draft. Do you have one of those, Fred?
I'd have to research that one. I got a. It's. I know it's Russian, probably close
it's
to
like
being Russian.
Balki Bartokomus?
I don't know. I got a draft related question. In your opinion, who had the best and worst draft out of our AFC East opponents? Also, what's the deal with Markell Carter? I hear he has a good 2 days of minicamp. It's obviously way too early to pencil him in to even make the team. But have you guys seen anything to perhaps argue otherwise?
No, but wait.
As
no
usual,
one saw anything.
Keep up the great work. Your shows are the best source of Patriots related news out there.
He didn't have a good minicamp. He didn't have a bad minicamp. We didn't see it.
Right.
He stretched. He ran through one set of bags, and they said, all right, guys, that's it for the media. Get out.
Anyone,
so no one saw him had a good minicamp.
Anyone who says that anyone had a good minicamp doesn't know.
Right.
Yeah, just to let everybody know, the media requested certain players for the days of rookie minicamp, and the media relations department did their best to get those players for us, 4 or 5 both days, I guess. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that talked. So
those are the ones that were written about.
And yeah. then you may look at that and say, oh, you know, Jeremy Ebert had a good minicamp, or Markell Carter
Aaron
had a
Lavarius.
Good, you know, they, that doesn't mean anything just other than they spoke at minicamp. So a lot of people wrote about them, and right. we didn't see anything on
and
the field.
A lot
anybody.
Of people reacted to, oh, you put on some weight, you're bigger, maybe that gives you a better yeah. chance of being that
right.
edge guy.
Yeah, I bring that up only because that's the second or third email that alluded to the improvement that Markell Carter has made. That very well could be true.
We don't know.
But we'll have to wait and see when we get to training camp.
And he talked a little bit about the fact, and you probably remember this, Fred, because you remember a lot of stuff. Last December, they doubled his salary. They gave him one of those bumps to a traditional $300,000+ salary rather than just the $4,800
a week. Did he get offers? I was going to ask that, but I didn't know if that was common knowledge.
I don't know.
While he was on the practice
squad? Yeah, I mean, did they have incentive to sweeten the pot for him?
I don't know.
Artie in Keene, New Hampshire says, my father-in-law was an antique dealer, and he had a spyglass from the 1800s,
cool.
which was engraved and given to a Captain Robert Knowles, which he gave to me. I'll pass that along to my children. It's not worth a lot of money, I doubt, but it's interesting to the family. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me. I have a sexton, too. Do you know what that is?
Yeah. So you have a queen and a and you have what?
Sexton. It's a old nautical tool to figure out the distance, and you hold it up to your eye, and you move all these little gadgets and it does stuff. I don't know. It's old.
I don't think I've ever heard that term in my life. Sexton. Sexton.
Sexton. Yeah, I've heard of that.
I'm sure you have, Fred. You've heard everything.
He knows everything.
Eleanor.
Except for Skype.
Eleanor writes in, what did you
bitch.
What did you think of the Pioli interview where he lashed out at the interviewer telling him, I hope you become the general manager of the Denver Broncos. Do you think he's making a mistake in investing so much in Matt Cassel?
I'm not familiar with the interview.
Yeah,
I'm not either, but I'm going to have to go find out.
Yes. Well, he made a similar comment to me years ago. Right after Barry Sanders retired. I said to him, this is when we were allowed to eat dinner with these guys. I said, you know, what about, you know, taking a look at Barry Sanders? And he said something like, yeah, I hope you become the general manager of the Jets or something like that. So that's one of his standard lines. You know. What?
Nothing about you. I'm trying to keep myself out of trouble.
Why? We're allowed to say anything we want about Pioli. Go ahead.
He's the competition.
Until he comes back. No. When he comes back, then cut it off.
Clint writes in. He's in Virginia.
Sent
good for Clint.
Okay, I was waiting for that. Do you?
Now, how old is Virginia? Yeah, that kind of sounds like an old name, so it might not be good for Clint if he's in Virginia. Yeah. She's like 85. You know a young Virginia? Don't give me that face.
And if she's 85, how long has he been in her?
Stale bread.
The only Virginia I know I would rather not talk about in terms of...
What the hell does that mean?
You know a young Virginia?
No.
Oh. That's my point.
Do you know a Virginia Young?
I know my mother is named Virginia, so...
Oh, right.
I really don't feel comfortable with the line of conversation.
No, but my point was I don't know any young Virginias. In fact, your mother is probably the only... And I don't even know her, but... Do you know Virginias?
I don't know any young ones.
No.
Okay, that's my point.
Of course, my mother would have just hit me if I said that.
I only know old, dried up
Virginia. I actually know an older, much older than my mother. There's another Virginia. So I know two Virginias in my life.
Okay.
You ever been in Virginia?
Many times. Matter of fact, early March every year. I go to Richmond.
No more, though.
While driving down the highway.
I think those days are going to come to an end.
Really?
Yeah.
Him and Michael Vega hitting the diners, drive-ins, and dive places together.
They're trying to move it to Baltimore. In the Inner Harbor, which would be nice.
That would be nice, yeah.
But VCU left the league, Freddie.
All right, Fred.
So we're in
it's
trouble.
Your fault. You brought this up.
Sorry,
we're in trouble.
Anyway, Clint, while in Virginia, says, "Do you see making Dante Stallworth? Do you see
Dante Stallworth making the roster?" Yeah. Jesus, Fred! Can't you figure these things out?
He doesn't have a single word in
this
front of
him. This is exactly what it says. Do you see making Dante Stallworth makes the roster?
Yeah,
that's exactly what he wrote.
And somehow I figured out what he meant.
I keep hearing no, but for some reason I really hope he does. I guess it's impractical. Lloyd, Welker, Gronk, Gaffney, and Hernandez on the field.
Well, it's not just on the field, but the extra receivers are going to be Edelman and Slater, because those guys make the team because of their special teams contributions. So now you're talking about Welker, Let's go with the locks. Welker and Lloyd. That was tough for me to say. Welker, Lloyd, Edelman, and Slater are locks because of their roles on the team, not just at receiver.
Welker, yeah, Lloyd, you Edelman, say that and Slater. I don't
they
think
could
Edelman's
put Slater
a lock.
Slater as a defensive back.
Oh, I do.
I don't think Edelman's a lock.
So we're just going with no return game next year. Kicks and punts, who won't return.
But what if someone else can return?
Who?
Shane Vereen?
I don't see Bill giving it to unproven guys ever. It took Edelman forever to steal it from Welker. He just doesn't hand over jobs to unknown people.
He'll give it to Woody until
Ridley,
someone
returned
else emerges.
Some kicks last year.
And I know that's not great.
No,
but...
I'm talking about punts. Because we returns are useless. I've given up there.
What if Welker does it? I mean,
well, he could.
Again,
so we're going to make him
I know this
our
is,
primary
this is,
punt returner.
This has
again.
Been the Andy Hart, I'm just going to violently attack anybody who questions me today show, but I don't think Edelman's a lock.
I think you're an idiot. literally, we would have no return game. Zero.
Well,
but you had zero return game last year.
No, we were okay on punts. We were okay. We sucked at kick returns. We had zero kick return.
We were better. We were better on punts than kicks. To
Didn't
be
we have a touchdown
to be
last
certain.
Year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. On punts, not kicks.
But that doesn't mean they were good.
I think he was pretty good. I need to look at the numbers. I think he had a pretty good year. Solid. Not great.
I don't even
not as good as he was
time.
The year before.
And what if Edelman's a defensive back?
What?
Well, if that's I think that's why Edelman has a better chance to make the rosters because
right.
I think, like Andy's point is,
in other words,
Ocho Cinco
toward being a wide
Ocho Cinco. No, he would be considered a wide receiver, but he would be able to provide more.
Right,
Ocho Cinco, Stallworth, those guys. I mean, that's they all they
nothing.
Can be is you know. In those, and really, what hurts those guys is really they're outside receivers. I couldn't really see the one of those guys really giving you much anywhere else.
Well, they have to be. Top three or four to make the team.
And that was my whole argument about injuries. If you got injuries to someone among your core group, you know, Lloyd or Welker or something, you know, then that, I think, it would give those guys a shot to leapfrog some of these other guys. But if you're going to go with a strict fourth or fifth receiver, I don't think it can be an Ocho Cinco because I just don't think he gives you enough to validate that position. He can do one thing.
And he can't even do that anymore.
And he doesn't really do that.
Brent in Illinois says, Andy and Fred, you're slipping. The real question is, why does Paul have a jewelry box?
It's just a place to keep my stuff.
Well, yeah, your jewelry.
But it's not really. I think that you kind of envision, you know, going back to
does
my
disco. Does the little ballerina,
days,
when you open it up, does the little ballerina.
It's not that.
Ding, 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 ding.
Like, I keep my passport in there. You know, stuff
a
like
jewelry
that.
Box?
It's not really a jewelry box. It's just like
it's
this
like
little
a valet.
Box. I don't know.
Well,
a men's valet.
I have the men's thing that has like the flip-up door and a drawer and a couple little things.
Right. I have that.
What
too.
Is that called?
Jewelry
valet,
box.
I don't think it's called a valet.
No.
It sounds like a jewelry box
to
me.
No, there's no ballerina dancing like yours.
Well, there's no ballerina in mine either.
You don't even know where yours is.
It fell off.
It's right on top of my desk.
Will knocked it off.
Oh, then why isn't your antique jewelry in it?
Oh, first of all, it's not antique.
Oh, I thought it was
it's something my grandmother brought back from Italy for me.
Well,
it's not. I mean, I know you think I'm 110 years old, but the thing is probably only about 30 years old.
Oh, that's antique.
It's not antique.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Want to thank Markel Carter for stopping in and for Pepe Le Pen for tweeting and Kevin in the booth.
For doing nothing.
Eric's in Paris. So if you hear anything on CNN, you'll know that he caused the
problem. He dated the Eiffel Tower.
Right. All right. Fred forgot what he was going to say.
See you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.